Good morning. I'm Dylan Gonzalez. The Cincinnati Reds defeated the St. Louis Cardinals 5-3 in 10 innings yesterday. Sal Stewart drove in the game-winning run with a pinch-hit RBI single in the extra frame. With the win, the Reds have now won three straight road series for the first time in 3 years. However, the Cleveland Guardians didn't have the same road success over the weekend. They got swept by the Rays after a 1-0 loss yesterday. The Guards had just one hit in the ballgame. Both Ohio MLB teams will meet up in Great American Ballpark for some Ohio Cup action tonight. Cleveland took 2 of 3 from Cincinnati back in May. Chase Burns versus Slade Ciccone is the expected pitching matchup for tonight's game. Coverage starts on The Fan 2 at 6:40. This update is sponsored by Awaken 180 Weight Loss. Warmer weather, more time outside. Summer gives weight loss a head start. Awaken 180 gives you the plan to make it happen. The official weight loss program of summer.
T-Bone and Tyvis, can I take your order?
Just want a little breakfast.
Hey, you want some crabs? Because I got some of them.
Get ready to drive through the intersection of football, food, and fun. Featuring producer Dylan.
Who are the 5 best rappers of all time?
Special guests.
Are you serious?
And you. Wake up.
For what?
It's time for T-Bone and Tyvis.
Welcome in. Happy Monday to you. Much as it can be. I'm T-Bone. He's Tyvis. Good morning, go to hell. Tyvis, how are you, bud?
Wagwan, you blessed?
You blessed. E2? No, that's Spanish. The hell is it? It's... Si, señor. Muy bien. E2? ¿Dónde está el baño?
Yeah, man. Everything blessed.
Tu eres un biblioteca. No?
What did he
do? I don't even know that.
You're going to get this correct.
Yeah, I'll never get it. I'll try.
Just insult two cultures at the same time.
Yeah, I'm not trying. I'm saying I didn't. It's the only other language I know is a little un poquito español.
You too. Idiot.
Yeah. Dios le bendiga. Yeah, whatever. God be with you. Sure. Why not?
You know what? People already think that we are idiots.
They're right. They nailed it. Good job out of you by figuring that one out. Congratulations on cracking the code. Oh, God. So what'd you do this weekend? Anything?
Well, Friday, you know, I had the dinner with 12, and it was me.
Oh, yeah.
It was me, Cardell, CJ Barnett, and Chris Fields. We went to Three Creeks.
The dinner where you told when and where you were going to be there, just in case anyone wanted to pull up on you guys.
Yeah, sure. Anyways.
I mean, I'm laughing, but, like, the phrase pull up terrifies me. Like, just to feel like someone pulled up on me.
Somebody want to pull up on a 4X football player?
I don't know why. I don't know, but I would only presume people who would have horrible intentions. And are also like that. I don't know.
Anyway,
that frightens me.
They had bet on the 2015 Ohio State versus Michigan State.
Still mad. And that would be you, dude. that would be you. Anyways, we went to Three Creeks in Gahanna. It was delicious. The steak tastes like butter. Oh my goodness. That filet I had was like butter.
How? Now you get the filet, you said.
Yes.
How do you do the filet?
I got it medium.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's respectable.
I probably should go more medium rare.
Yeah, filets are tough to get. Like, my wife used to do a well-done filet, and I'm like, let me just take the money and throw it away. Yeah, throw it in the trash?
Yeah,
let's do that.
Usually I go medium. It depends on the more fancier the steakhouse, the more medium rare I go.
Sure. So,
yeah.
No, medium's a good, that's for, because filet's so thick.
Right.
You can't. By the time you cook the middle or get it any further than medium, then the rest of the steak's dying.
Correct.
So, yeah.
When I order a steak, I order it like one level above what I actually want because I think that they're going to undercook it.
You guys have a lot of theories about how the world is out to get you, which I guess in fairness, maybe I should adopt that more. I'm also cynical, but like that goes with your pop theory that you don't believe any of the zeros or diets are actually diet or zeros. You think they just put the real sugar in
They're not real.
You also think when you go to steakhouses now that when you say medium rare, they're just like, bump them up to medium.
No, I think the opposite.
Oh, you think they say medium rare, they go rare.
Yes.
Well, that's not good.
I'm not. I feel like it's the opposite. I feel like they cook it more.
Mm.
So, like, if you want medium, then you should say medium rare. because they give you medium.
See, every time I've gotten a steak, I'm literally just like, I'd like it medium rare, and then it comes out, and I'm like, yeah, pretty much medium rare. They nailed it. Like, I've never had a thing where I'm like, I can't, but like, if I say a certain time, like, I don't get medium rare and it comes out cold. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, I've never had.
What's that one called? Like, blue? Isn't that the?
That's an option.
I have no idea.
There's something below rare.
You talking about where it's just basically mooing?
Yeah, it's not blue. It's moo.
It's like, yeah, right. It's literally like, I think it's below rare. Where it's just like, it's basically like a cold piece of meat.
I've never heard of that. And to each his own. That's not for me.
Yeah, I used to know a guy who, that's what he would say, is smack it on the butt and send it out. And it's like, I can't, you need to throw that thing on the grill and I need a sear on it. And I need to see a little caramelization around the fat. Like, I need some of that to render, and then I'm good.
Okay.
I can do rare. Anyway, go ahead, back to your story.
Anyways, yeah, so that was a great day. Three Creeks, I suggest anybody go out there because it was really good. Saturday, I was at Prohibition with the Perrys.
So you did do that.
Yeah, Josh. Yeah. So when I told him about it, I was like, I think we're supposed to be going. He had no idea.
So your wives planned it. Yeah. So, and you guys went.
So we went Saturday. That was a great time. We had my kids, his kids, and we was just, we was laughing at the fact that our kids, none of our kids look their age. Mm-hmm. Like, they're all bigger than.
Well.
Like, I mean, what you would think. If you saw them, you would think that they're a certain age. But
are they
not.
Like higher on the growth curve, you're saying?
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I'm not trying to point out the obvious here, but you and him are both former professional athletes.
I understand.
Who are both part of the part. Now, it's hard work. It's all the other stuff. But part of it is because you also met certain size requirements that are like valued in the NFL. That helps too.
I understand.
So
what
it's not
you're
surprising
saying.
That and, your kids would take after you.
Logically, that makes sense. But like, it's hard to go out because, like, we need space. Like,
like, trust
our
me.
Kids is not like the regular size of kids, so they
I get
take
what you're
up
saying.
A ton of space.
But they see and, kids coming, they're like, oh, cool, this should be, we can squeeze you in here, and it's like, no,
you cannot.
No.
Yeah, so it was, that was the whole topic of conversation there. And then Sunday, I actually received some terrible family news.
Oh, no.
Yeah, it was terrible. So I told you a couple months ago how my grandmother had a stroke.
Yeah.
Well, come to find out, you know, she went to the hospital, I think, either Friday or Saturday. And when I was actually out at Prohibition, my mother had called me and she was going to deliver me the news, but she seen I was out. Mm. So she didn't deliver me the news that day. She actually made call. I talked to her the next day and I actually had to drive up to Cleveland because the news was so bad that I had to see my grandmother yesterday. So I actually spent the time up in Cleveland with her. And she is the exact, although she had got her bad news, she is the exact same that she's always been. She cussed everybody.
Good for her.
She cussed everybody out. So, yeah, it was, it started off really good. Obviously, it had some bad news on Sunday, but it was still a good time. Good to see my grandparents and all those things.
I'm sorry to hear that, man. That sucks. Because I had that happen a few years ago where my grandmother, she was my dad's mom lives in New Jersey. Mm-hmm. She was 99. I think this would have been maybe 2 years ago. I got my timelines are all squished together in my head, but whatever. I think it was 2 years ago now where she was starting to reach the end. We kind of got that news. And so my parents were going out to see her and they said, hey, it'd be good if you wanted to see her one last time because we don't know, you know, how it's going to go. Mm-hmm. And so I took off work and drove out there. Like I only had like a day because we had kids stuff that I had to be back for. I had to help out with other stuff because my parents are usually the fallback.
Yeah.
If I can't be around to take the kids somewhere. And we had a bunch of other stuff that weekend. So I literally drove out on a Friday morning and drove out to see, my grandma, Mildred, and got to talk with her. And she was, like how you're talking about how your grandmother was just cussing everybody out.
Oh, yeah.
She was
the exact same.
You'd never know that this woman was like 99 years old and almost like we had some bad news too. Mm-hmm. And so that was the time where it was like, you almost have, at least for me, when I was sitting with her, I was like, yeah, there's no way. I was almost pissed.
Yeah.
Like, this is a waste of time.
That's pretty
I wasn't mad. It was great to see her. I hadn't seen her in years, but it was good to see her and my dad talking and all that stuff. And then like a month later, she was gone. Mm. And so it was like, that was something for us that I definitely am glad I did it, but I totally, it's not, it's a weird time, you know, when you start getting news like that. So, yeah, man, sorry to hear that. But I do know that a lot of people reached out to us on the voicemail line this weekend. We got a bunch of voicemails. If you don't have that number saved, 614-460-8010, that's the number to get to us. And the thing I was curious about, Tyvus, would people send us voicemails when we're not on the air? Would they send us voicemails like on Saturday? Or and sure enough, they did. So we got plenty of those. We'll play some of those for you. I watched the Columbus Crew beat FC Cincinnati in Hell is Real.
Yeah.
That was, listen, I was.
That was that match gave you everything you wanted in a match. Even,
well, you
even
know,
beef.
You know, oh, we got beef. Yes, there was what's for dinner. Beef. I'll tell you this. I had been so down on this Crew team this year watching them. Like, they just didn't look like themselves. They just traded off Diego Rossi. So I'm like, okay, well, that's going to be worse. They got reinforcements coming in, but who knows how those guys are going to play.
How long do you think it'd take a player to adjust when they come
in? It takes months because, you know, they're in a new country for some of them, right?
How much, like, I mean, how much of the season is left?
They go through October. I think end of October is when the regular season
is,
and then it's playoffs.
And right now in the standings, they were 11?
Yeah, they got a ways to go. They're still out of a playoff spot. Eighth is the final playoff spot, so I think they have a play-in game now, so maybe it's 8-9. Whatever. The point is they're still in need of points, but FC Cincinnati comes to town, and like the Crew have done so many times, they beat what probably on paper is a better FC Cincinnati team, but it was a monster game. They win 2-1. They get a penalty from Daniel Gosdog. He put the capper on it with the 2-1 late in the first half, and then that ended up being the final
that
score.
Was that the header? You hit him with the header?
No, that was Tiari who got the header. He got up.
I saw that one.
I was like, where has this been? I'm so excited about that. But yeah, he nailed the header on the corner to get the 1-1 tie, and then the second goal was a penalty where this guy for FC Cincinnati, Tyvus, I'll just tell you, you have these guys, I'm sure, when you watch sports, we're like, oh, that guy again. Matt Miazga, who plays for the FC Cincinnati, is just I can't stand him. I hate everything about him. He annoys me. He used to play for U.S. men's national team, and he sucked, and he fell off the radar. He like went up to a Mexican player once from Mexico's national team, walked up to the guy, and then just did the like too short thing to the guy's face. And it was funny in the moment, but as I look back on it later, I'm like, that dude is way better than you. You had no business talking to that dude. Anyway, as it turned out, Matt Miazga is the guy who plays for FC Cincinnati who fouled our player who was driving down, like getting close to it, just hammered him and got the penalty kick. So yeah, it was a great day. It was a great day to see FC Cincinnati go down in flames. Kentucky FC, as I like to call them. Their fans get very pissed off when you call them that, which is why I will never stop calling them that, because it's a simple, easy tease that they never seem to get over. But the Crew, that was good momentum, so build off that. Let's keep it going. LeBron is joining the Sixers. How are we feeling about it? We'll talk about it next. T-Bone and Tyvus on the Fan.
Fan traffic
from the Atlas Butler Plumbing Services Traffic Center.
Good morning. We're tracking a crash on the ramp from 71 northbound to 70 eastbound downtown. Expect some lane closures over there. Also expect delays in from Delaware County this morning. We've got delays all the way up from Mount Gilead down to the Outlet Mall exit. I'm 10TV's Amy Stagerwald with your Fan.
Common Man and Timmy are inviting select jabronis to the station for pizza. Hey, that could be you. Email goodcleanboy@gmail.com and tell us why you should be chosen.
Presented by Billiards Plus and sponsored by Paisano Peppers.
The Fan. Fan weather.
From the Logan AC and Heat Services Weather Center.
We have some patches of fog out there to start the day. Otherwise, plan for a partly cloudy Monday. Could be a few showers or storms coming up later on today, mainly in western Ohio, however. Looking for a warm and humid afternoon, highs in the upper 80s. For tonight, scattered thunderstorms are likely. May produce gusty winds, lows around 70. Storm chance ends early tomorrow, partly cloudy, mid-80s. For The Fan, I'm 10 Weather Impact meteorologist Justin Gertz.
We are your radio home for the Buckeyes, Browns, and all the NFL games you can handle. We may have a bit of a football problem.
Oh, yeah.
The Fan, Ohio sports destination. One of these men was prom king. The other is Tyvus. You're listening to T-Bone and Tyvus.
So, Friday afternoon, I see the news hit. Or maybe it was like around noon, was it?
No.
Late morning.
Yeah, late morning, okay.
Probably
like
10:30 Friday.
Yeah, okay, that's when it was. But I saw it like when I saw it was around noon. And I instantly go to Twitter and I'm like, wait, is this real? And then I see it's real. And it's all over the place that LeBron has chosen where he's going and he's going to Philly.
And I said, thank you. Finally, it's over.
Oh, just that we now it's done.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, what?
Let's move on with our lives. Yes.
Fair enough. I'm with you on that. I don't often get that annoyed by like guys trying to decide where they want to go, especially if it's not my team. Mm-hmm. And by the way, I don't consider myself like a diehard Cavs fan or anything, but I would like to see him come back to Cleveland.
Yeah, everybody wants a storybook ending.
Yeah, that would have been nice. But I wasn't like, I was more in the camp of just get it done so we know where you're going and then that's it and we can move on. And then I can, now football's here and we can start focusing on that. And then I'll worry about that when, you know, November, after December Christmas. Comes. Yeah, right. Yeah, pretty Christmas. Much for a lot of people, that's what it's going to be. But yeah, he joins a stacked roster there in, you know, Philadelphia. Mm-hmm. And of course, you know me and my guy, VJ Edgecombe. That's really all I'm invested in the Sixers. I'm all about him. But like,
better get ready for him to be spotted up in the corner, T-Bone.
Hey, man, listen, he's going to learn from greatness. He's going to learn from greatness. He's going to watch how LeBron works. He's going to become, he'll become his own special star after that little 2-year run with LeBron, which it looks like he signed a 2-year deal for what was it like $3.5 million a piece?
Four.
2 years, $8 million total.
Oh, four. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. There you go. So, I mean, I didn't think he was going to get a bank, but, and I mean, still $4 million, we'd all love to have that. But for someone of LeBron's caliber, that's a pretty cheap deal. So clearly he's taking this for other reasons than making money. It's either to win championships, increase the brand, play in a city he's never played in, sell some more jerseys, whatever the case, like all the above. LeBron decided to go out to the East Coast, which I hope his kid likes frequent flyer miles, because didn't his daughter have, you know, he was saying, I want to see you. I want to be around you. And that's why everybody thought he was Golden State bound.
They came in second. It's the funny part is that the Cavs wasn't even in the top two. That part breaks me laugh every time I think about it. But anyways.
Yeah, it was, if you didn't hear that, it was Philadelphia and then Golden State right after.
The Cavs were
not in the mix, really, when it came down to it.
And it's because of the roster and all these things. They wanted, I don't know, it's so many conflicting reports that I just don't really know the truth. I was reading that they wanted the Cavs to have Donovan. They were shocked that the Cavs kept Donovan Mitchell and that they traded Darius Garland or something like that. And everybody knows I'm a huge Darius Garland fan, so it's funny to me. But I at the time of the trade, I understood why the Cavs did it. It's funny because the Cavs are so close, right? They make the Eastern Conference Finals, right? Although they get swept in the Eastern Conference Finals, they made it further than they did the year before. And every year, I would say in the past couple of years, they've always done a pretty good job of advancing a round further in the playoffs. So you would think like, okay, you get LeBron James, that's your missing piece to get you to at least the finals, right? And then it comes out that he's really not a fan of the roster. And it just goes back to this some radio guy and / TV guy.
Oh, a member
just,
of the media? Just, is that what we're saying?
No, he's not a member of the media.
I think I heard
a member of the media.
That's what I heard.
Some radio guy said about a month or two ago about how, you know, I would refrain from paying Donovan because I'm not all the way sold on him. I think that he showed that he's a number two in this league, but in Cleveland, he's a number one because there's no better option. And it comes down to the simple fact that the reason LeBron didn't go to Cleveland was because the Cavs had a chance to get Jaylen Brown. They didn't trade for him. And they had a chance to get Giannis, and they didn't trade for him. And I just laughed because that was this radio guy / TV guy said that they should probably go after those two guys. And I would do – it don't matter who they ask for. I trade Donovan Mitchell for Jaylen Brown.
Yeah.
And no, they so loyal to their people that they are now – out of the LeBron sweepstakes. And that, to me, it's just like... And
now, hey, guess what got tougher? The Eastern Conference.
Yeah.
So not only did you not get LeBron, now you've added more fire to that, you know, 76ers group that probably is going to give you a really rough time.
They got to stay healthy.
Of course. You got a bunch of old guys on that team,
The two, Embiid and LeBron, both deal with some injuries. So, you know, that's the one thing. But if they in the playoffs and they healthy... I mean, even Embiid last year was unstoppable before he got hurt.
I wouldn't even. I would tell Joel Embiid, "Hey, man, see you in February."
Pretty much.
Go hit the all-star break. Come back after that. We're ready for you. Then we'll just take all the time you want. No, stay healthy.
I would be staggering games between LeBron and Embiid, and then maybe like the last 20 games of the season or so worry about chemistry.
That's too close. I'm last five.
You got
too many games.
This is team bubble wrap, man. Yes, you got to keep them. Just keep them like fine porcelain. I don't even need
y'all. I need y'all to be a six seed. At work, just be a six seed. I don't need you to be the one, two, three, none of that. Six.
Because Maxey and Edgecombe and Brown can all carry them throughout the season. And like Tyva said, you don't need to be the number one seed in the East. Maybe get to the four seed. Maybe that's where I would put it.
Yeah.
Be the four seed, get home court advantage the first two rounds, and that's it. Regular season doesn't matter with this team. No matter what they do in the regular season, it's not going to matter until the playoffs start.
No. I mean, I still, like, if you're trying to hold out hope as a Cavs fan.
There's no hope.
Well, this is the thing, right? This is where ring culture gets to be kind of toxic, where you're like, we're talking about a team that did make the Eastern Conference Finals. And I get it if you're a Cavs fan saying, why would you think we couldn't be improved from next year? The answer is, for me, is that in the NBA, if you stay stagnant, you're falling behind. Like, there's no movement that you, if you do no movement in the offseason, you can't come back next year and be like, we'll just run it back and see what happens. Like, that is very rare where that works.
Well, the sad part about the Cavs is that they lost all their wings. They lost Dean Wade is in Philly.
In Philly, he is.
LeBron wanted to play with Dean Wade again. It just wasn't Dwayne Wade. It was Dean Wade.
That's right.
So they lost Dean Wade. They lost Keon Ellis. Like, they have no... The only wing I think they have is Jalen Tyson. Everybody else is, like, short.
Bone, to your point about staying stagnant, people want to say that the Knicks did, but they fired their head coach. Like, they might have not made any major roster moves from two seasons ago to last season, but they fired their coach. And to the point that Tyvus has been making, them not trading for Giannis is going to haunt them for forever. They essentially could have had a shot at the finals this past season, this season with LeBron, and next season. And now all they're going to be like is, hey, we still have Evan Mobley in the year 2028 and 2029. Hang that banner.
Well, and I'm saying, like,
Evan Mobley said that in a couple of years the best two players in the league will be him and Wimby.
Great.
So we're gonna hold Evan to that standard.
Hey, man, I like the confidence, but I don't know where that comes from.
Other than internal
delusion, I guess.
We can't trade him under no circumstances. When they was talking about trading him for Jaylen Brown, are you kidding me?
Well, wait, why are you saying that?
Why would we trade the guy who's going to be the second best player in the league?
Boy, that is some petty sarcasm.
This guy was so good.
Listen to you.
He was so good that Donovan Mitchell wanted to play with him over Giannis. Why would we ever trade Evan? That's ludicrous to me.
You know, another little Cavs nugget on all this. So the guy who's, I think, the president of basketball ops or the GM of the Sixers now
was with LeBron.
Michael Gansey.
Yeah.
Mike Gansey was in the front office for the Cavs, but he also grew up in Olmsted Falls. Mm-hmm. And he played there, was awesome.
And his first year with the 76ers, he landed LeBron and Jaylen Brown.
Yeah, that's pretty good. That's good work. But he is also a guy who was in the Mr. Basketball Division II Player of the Year rankings. His senior year, he finished second in Mr. Basketball in the state of Ohio to some kid named LeBron James. Is that not wild? Like, two guys playing high school basketball in Northeast Ohio. You are excellent. The only guy who beat you, you could tell forever, is like, the only guy who was better than me in high school was LeBron James in the state of Ohio.
Now he his boss.
And now you're the guy running. I mean, he's been running teams. He's been involved in front offices for a long time. Mm-hmm. But now to have that point where you get to help swing the trade to sign LeBron, you woo LeBron.
You know what the funny thing
That's
is?
That's crazy.
You know what the funny thing
what a
about
crazy all-
This is gonna make me laugh, and this is the one game that has to be circled on my calendar when the Sixers play the Cavs.
Oh yeah,
you know who's gonna be checking Donovan?
Who's gonna check him?
Dean Wade.
It's gonna be fun. It's gonna be good. I'll tell you. You know what? I've been bugging sales.
Put Dean Wade on Donovan. And if Donovan can't score, if D Wade really shut him, because D Wade, you can say what you want about his offensive game. Defensively, he was really good.
I'll say this. I think I haven't talked enough to sales about it yet, but what I want to do at some point is I want us to do like appearances, like watch party stuff.
Yeah.
But obviously for our show, because we're early, if we're going to do sports, they're on in the evenings typically, we'd have to do either a Friday or Saturday night. let that Cavs-Sixers game be on a Friday or Saturday night. I want to get us to a bar and have a watch party, and we can all go there, have the haters ball in person, just sit there and all just laugh. We could all watch Evan Mobley fumble around. That'd be I'd enjoy that. Now, again, I'm not a Cavs fan like you are, but I would enjoy watching you watching them.
I ain't going to say nothing. I would just sit back and really? Listen, I'm going to trust the process.
Yeah, sure. Hey, isn't that what they say in Philly? Yeah. Trust the process. Yeah. SEC needs a new slogan. Details in 2 minutes. T-Bone and Tyvus on the Fan.
Fan traffic.
From the Atlas Butler Plumbing Services Traffic Center.
Hey there and good morning. Still tracking a crash downtown on the ramp from 71 northbound to 70 eastbound. Expect some lane closures over there. Also lane closures causing delays up in Delaware County. This stretches on 71 southbound up from Mount Gilead down past the Outlet Mall exit. I'm 10 TV's Amy Steigerwald with your Fan 2.
T-Bone and Tyvus is sponsored by Capital Ford of Columbus. Find your dream ride and get approved fast at CapitalFordOfColumbus.com. Tyvus is drinking a protein shake for breakfast. T-Bone is eating a protein donut, minus the protein. And it's more than one donut. You're listening to T-Bone and Tyvus.
Trey Brown says that me saying that I'm going to just sit there, that's cap. When I'm talking about the Cavs next year. No, I'm gonna tell you right now. The day that they didn't trade Giannis for Evan Mobley, I stopped really caring that much. I really did, because that's if you give that trade to any other team in the NBA, I feel like everybody takes that trade, except for like unless it's Wimby. But yeah. Like, if you got Evan Mobley and you can trade him for Giannis, you say no. It's not about winning the championship. It really is not, because to me, if it was about that. Then you 100%, if the Cavs was as serious as they pretend to be.
Well, they think they're very serious.
If they was that serious.
They got James Harden
for
the playoffs.
There is nowhere on this earth that you're going to tell me that Evan Mobley is a better player than Giannis last year. Like, what are we talking about?
Yeah, what are you talking about? See, this is how I'm glad, because we can have a moment of understanding here where, like, this is exactly how I felt when the Cleveland Browns said, Deshaun Watson seems like a great idea. Let's overpay him and bring him in. When they did that, I said, they're not serious about winning. They're serious about chasing other winners. Because that's what they did that right after the Bengals, I believe. It was the same offseason or maybe 1 year after when the Bengals made the Super Bowl with Joe Burrow. And they were like, we got to go get a quarterback. We can't be the Ohio team that's not getting to Super Bowls. The Bengals can't show us up. They went out and overpaid for Deshaun Watson with all his baggage, with all his injury, with everything going on. And I said, they're not serious. They're serious about chasing headlines. They're not serious about actually winning. As long as he is on the roster, and as long as they are screwing around with the idea of Deshaun Watson as a quarterback for that team, that's exactly the feeling I had. So now you know how I felt the last like almost 5 years of this stupid debacle up in Cleveland with the quarterback situation. Yeah, when you hear stuff like that, it's demoralizing as a fan. When you hear that your team is basically like, oh, we'd rather chase. Like, the Browns at least will make the case that they were trying to win with him. Mm-hmm. But I think anybody who was rationally looking at it said, That's delusional, and you're just chasing something that isn't there. The Cavs case, they're trying to soothe egos. They're trying to keep a few people happy in that building instead of doing what's best for the city, doing what's best for the team, and that's what got you there now. They're the conference finals. Better be happy with that.
Hey.
Be glad if you can get back there next year.
It's a stat that's going around. Every team that went to the East, that went to the conference finals, went to the finals the next year.
And that is such, dude. When someone brings that up, I instantly know you're not being a serious. You're not having any serious basketball discussion. You're just throwing out nothing.
I'm saying, that's what they tell me.
I don't know if this was just my algorithm, but I saw a lot of posts from a Cleveland account saying, let's show some appreciation to the Jose Ramirez's, the Donovan Mitchell's, the Joe Thomas's for showing loyalty to Cleveland. What the hell has loyalty to Cleveland gotten those three guys? Yeah. Joe Thomas has played on some of the worst Cleveland Browns, the worst football teams I have seen in my entire life. They do not even attempt to get another star to play with J-Ram.
No, and Donovan Mitchell. No.
I've never understood the love affair with Donovan Mitchell just because
he's a great guy.
Just because he chose Cleveland. Cleveland fans love him back.
Yeah, he's a great guy. The franchise was, they were what, essentially a play-in team
Yeah.
before he got here. So I mean, he's taking them to new heights. I mean, he's been the most successful post LeBron.
He's well compensated, folks.
Tell me about it.
I get so frustrated when people act like it's like this guy's done everything for he's like he's paid to. Now I'm glad that he likes getting paid, and I'm glad that he likes to do all of that in one zip code for the rest of his life. Like I don't blame any Guardians fan for being thrilled with Jose Ramirez. Like, yeah, it's awesome that that guy cuts you hometown discounts and sticks around. It sucks that the owners of that team do nothing to bolster it. By the way, how'd the Guardians look this weekend?
They can't hit.
Terrible.
They can't hit. It's the worst offense I've ever seen.
They only had one more hit than the three of us yesterday.
That's bad. Man. I'm just saying, like, to your point, Dylan, loyalty is fine, but no one gives a crap if you're loyal if the team is losing. And similarly, you can build it. Do you think any fan of the Indiana Hoosiers football team is sitting there going, these guys weren't even here 3 years ago. I don't even know where these guys came from. Who's this guy? Who's that guy? What's this number one pick, dude? I don't know. He was playing at Cal last year. They don't care because they won a championship with those guys. Loyalty is overrated, in my opinion, in sports. I would much rather have winners who are mercenaries, who show up, get the job done, cash the check, and leave. But at least do you think Toronto fans care that Kawhi Leonard left after that year where they won a title?
No.
I don't think they care at all. I think they'd love to have him back. I think they want to have him back, and there's a whole investigation going on into that. But yeah, that I'm just saying, like, give me the 1 year with the greatness over a lifetime of loyalty and no trophies. Like, I would take, let me ask you this, would you take a year of essentially that situation? You have a year with a superstar like Kawhi Leonard, who you win in Toronto. Wasn't he just there 1 year? Am I wrong?
That's it.
Yeah.
Was with the Spurs, there for a year. Steve Ballmer got Ascension built so he could pay him illegally through the... Allegedly. Paolo Torre said that, not me. I just want to be clear. But then he goes to L.A. And then, like, you had 1 year with him in Toronto, but you won a title with him. Would you rather have that or the equivalent of a Joe Thomas, where you have a no-doubt Hall of Famer on your team? He will only be going, and he is in the Hall of Fame as a Brown, but you won nothing with him. Like,
in Cleveland?
Give me Kawhi Leonard.
Give me
the Kawhi Leonard type every day over the guy who stays loyal for 100 years and you never win anything. I'd love to have both, but if I have to pick one, that's what I'm picking.
Yeah, and for the people saying that LeBron isn't loyal for choosing Philly and playing on yet another team.
Who is saying that?
What do you mean, who's saying that?
People are really that upset about it? The man won you a championship. He did what he said he was going to do. Cool. After that, he was done with the Cavs. I don't know why people don't understand that. I told you I would come win you a championship. I won you a championship. I'm done.
Yeah,
I
can do whatever I want to do. That's now. Fine. And that's fine with me. I think it's all worth it in that regard.
But LeBron, he played for three teams in 15 years. Jordan played for two teams in 15 years. I don't see that much of a difference. It's not LeBron's fault he played for 8 years longer than Jordan.
No, I mean, that's actually a testament to his greatness.
Exactly.
That's a whole other thing. We got a voicemail that came in over the weekend, 614-460-8010. This is involving the SEC loser talk we heard from last week. Here you go.
Hey, guys. Love the show. Listen to you guys every morning when I make my little trek into Columbus. My name's Andrew from Delaware, and I just had this thought on the SEC schedule with their network and with their conference. I feel like they need to come up with a different slogan, because the amount of excuses their coaches make about everything, as we heard from the recordings you guys played on Friday, great show, by the way, it just means more is not a good slogan anymore for them. They need to change it to something else. Maybe you guys can come up with it. Anyway, love you guys.
Thanks for the call. I appreciate that. Glad you listened. Yeah, I don't think it just means more is the right slogan for them anymore.
Not at all. Not at all.
What would we come up with there? You could tweet us at Bone and Tyvus 971 or throw it in the YouTube chat. YouTube 971 The Fan, T-Bone and Tyvus. Just click on it. Get in the chat. But one that I thought of initially is just don't make us play anybody. Or it's just so tough. You don't understand. Something along those lines. Because that's all these coaches seem to want to talk about is how difficult it is to be in the SEC. When you had options to go coach elsewhere, if it was so difficult, go coach elsewhere.
The minor league for the Big Ten.
You know what it feels like watching the SEC? It feels like if you were at a marathon, watching people who chose to run the marathon as they run by you going, you don't know how tough this is. This is difficult. My nipples are bleeding. And it's like, good. I didn't sign you up for it. You did. You wanted this. You're running. I'm here holding the water for you. That's what these SEC coaches want.
Would you say that Diego Pavia was the best quarterback in the SEC last year?
Not as far as pro prospects, like pro potential, but as far as what he did on the field, yeah, I think you can make that case. I think obviously the Heisman voters made that case too, by the way. So yeah, I think that's fair.
That's because all the hillbillies united together just like they do with everything else.
Yeah. And all the SEC pride. Yeah, from some writer in Chattanooga is writing that up. Some problems for Tony Romo. We'll tell you about it next. T-Bone and Tyvus on the Fan.
Fan traffic.
From the Atlas Butler Plumbing Services Traffic Center.
Good morning and happy Monday. Still watching a crash on the ramp from 71 northbound to 70 eastbound downtown. Expect some lane closures over there. Also watching some slight delays as crews wrap up overnight work on 71 southbound in from the Mount Gilead area down to the Outlet Mall exit. I'm 10TV's Amy Steigerwald with your
fan.com.
The Fan Poll is sponsored by JT's Pizza and Pub, home of award-winning pizza and $2 tall boys. All day, every day.
All of the hair on their heads is slowly migrating to the lower part of their faces. And tracking. This is T-Bone and Tyvus.
Oh, man. I saw this news over the weekend about old Tony Romo apparently having a little bit of a rough go. So Tony Romo was at an amateur golf tournament in Wisconsin, which I always forget. That's apparently where Tony Romo is from, is Wisconsin.
Correct.
I'd forgotten that. Apparently,
every time they played the Packers, there was, oh, Tony, grew up Brett Favre fan, loved the Packers.
Yeah, I am someone who, I'm not going to lie, sometimes with the NFL announcers, because they are like, some of them tend to be very over the top with their... Like every game, it's like week three, and it's two teams that haven't won a game, and it's like, this one right here, folks, I got to tell you, one of these teams is falling out of the playoffs today if they don't get a win. It's like, we're talking about two awful teams. So, like, I don't always pay attention to everything the NFL announcers say, but, yeah, I do remember you now that you bring that up. Packers, occasionally that would be brought up during the game. But Tony Romo was there in Wisconsin. Apparently, according to local reports there from Fox 6 in Milwaukee, Romo was arrested Thursday night on suspicion of operating while intoxicated. News came out late Friday. He was taken into custody after performing poorly on standardized field sobriety test. He was subsequently booked on a first offense, operating while intoxicated, charged and released. So this apparently is in Wisconsin, which may speak more to the state of Wisconsin than anything else. Apparently, operating a vehicle while intoxicated is a civil offense rather than a criminal charge.
Let him live.
Wow. That's, I don't know. I don't know about that. Right, Tony. So, yes, the guy who is very sweaty and sounds often like this was apparently drinking and then got into an automobile.
Never touched him. That's a catch.
Was that the field sobriety test, or was that him calling a game? Let's
see.
The mugshot, by the way.
Oh,
man.
All-timer.
Looked like, A, he did not give two dams that he got arrested.
No, he did not.
And B, he might have still been under the influence.
I'm drunk now.
Yeah.
Oh, listen, I don't know. I don't know what level you, I don't know. I'm not a field sobriety officer, so I don't know what the level of intoxication was, but it definitely looked like a guy who had had a few to drink. So you know what, Tyvus, you're a guy who does not drink. You know, something I've learned is that if you don't drink, you can't get an OWI, an OVI, a DWI, a DUI. None of that can happen if you're not drinking.
You know, it makes me laugh when I see this, because it's always the people that's got a lot of money that can hire a driver, get an Uber, and make it so accessible to not drink and drive. Dude. And the fact that they do, it's because,
well, dude, if you
a lot of people think, oh, I can make it. Like, I'm good. I'm good. I don't need nothing. And then they be swerving on and off the road and stuff
like
that.
That's bad. So, yeah. No, I'll tell you, like you said, I know there are plenty of people who have made this mistake in their lives. And I don't, just because you do this doesn't mean, I don't think you're a horrible person if you make this mistake one time. I think it's not good. Mm-hmm. It can be deadly. Mm-hmm. No one's encouraging that, okay? But I do understand that people who have, like, very good intentions, occasionally something happens like this, and you get pulled over, and you are over the limit. Learn your lesson, though. And then, like you said, a guy like Tony Romo should never be in a car.
Got too much. He just got too much to lose. That's what I don't understand. Even when Sherm did it, it's like, bro, you got too much to lose. Dude, like, what are you doing?
When I went to New York a few weeks ago, the company paid for it, so this was great. Instead of trying to get to the airport ourselves and drive through all the midtown traffic and all that, or taking the subway, and then you have to hop on a bus, there's a whole thing. We took an Uber Black, like the nice luxury Uber. Mm-hmm. Like, we got the big SUV that big rolled
money.
Up.
Big money.
Let me tell you right now. After getting that thing, I have much less sympathy for anyone who gets popped. Like, if you're rich and you have the means to afford something, and an Uber Black is not even like the nice car. You can go hire a car service that'll drive up in a whatever car you want. Mm. Limousine, Porsche, whatever you want. They'll pick you up, drive wherever you want to go, drop you off. I'm just saying, I have less sympathy now after experiencing that, where I'm like, oh, this is how you could be rolling? Like, sitting in a captain's chair in the back of an expedition, just surfing the web and, like, letting them drive you around? I don't know what he does in his spare time. Tony Romo is, you know, a man of many talents. He's...
Here we go!
This one is my favorite, though, of his, just because it is so out of context. We know exactly what he's saying, but my God.
Because you can see the balls right there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you know what the interesting thing about this is that this happened, but, like, I feel like it wasn't, like, on news as much.
No, it wasn't,
like,
really.
Ryan Clark's firing was more news.
Oh, yeah.
Had a much note. Why?
I don't know the answer on that. I don't know, totally. I feel like... that is a very odd thing. Now, Ryan Clark did his podcast where he was very emotional and talked about how it felt. And he is obviously, you're right, though. I mean, of the public facing figures, like, Ryan Clark is on TV more often.
Isn't he?
But Tony Romo is the number one guy on CBS. And this kind of just got swept under the rug. Actually, there was something with that. Did you see your former coach, Kyle Shanahan?
Yeah.
Got into a car accident. I want to be clear. We know nothing about I'm not connecting, like, Tony Romo drinking driving to that. I don't know what happened with Kyle Shanahan, but here's the thing. It's very odd that no one knows really what happened with Kyle Shanahan. Did you see when this actually happened?
July 14th.
The news came out on July 25th.
Yeah.
11 days after. This is one of 32 NFL coaches was in a car accident so severe, they said, that he had not life-threatening injuries, but... Didn't he have is his foot broken or his legs broken? He had like 40 stitches in his head.
He broke his nose, 3 ribs, his hands, and needed 40 stitches in his face and a severe concussion.
Okay.
During a car accident when he collided with the SUV near his North California home.
Okay. This happened. This news came out on Saturday. And here's what's interesting to me about this. This didn't have 14 days or 11 days went by before anybody reported on this. At noon on Saturday, noon Eastern, the Niners posted a statement saying Kyle Shanahan was in this car accident, and as such, another one of their assistant coaches is going to be like acting head coach during training camp until he's able to come back from these injuries. But he's going to coach in the season. He'll be fine for all that, but it's going to take some time. Okay. Well, their training camp opened this week. Mm-hmm. So, like, they basically didn't put this news out until it was going to be obvious to anyone there. Hey, Kyle Shanahan's not here. Yeah. What's going on with that? Why isn't he giving a press conference? Or if he does give one, he's going to have bandages all over him, and he's going to obviously look like he fell down a flight of stairs or something. So then this is what I find so odd. They posted that at 12 o'clock p.m. Eastern time. At 12:01 p.m. Eastern time, Adam Schefter posted a tweet about it. At 12:02 p.m. Eastern, an ESPN article was posted on ESPN.com written about the situation. Let me tell you how that works, folks, because I've been in this building and we've had that. Ohio State, we're media partners with Ohio State, but Ohio State sometimes will give a heads up to its broadcast partner that, hey, we're going to have the schedule release, you know, like for basketball or football or something like that. That news, though, is not allowed to be known until, say, 3 p.m. And it might be noon when they send us that info. It's called embargoed. They do that in media all the time. They'll say, hey, here's what the information is. Write your article And it's usually for stuff like that, like a schedule release or something where that, how do you think all these teams release their schedule info at the same time? Like in the NFL, right? This, all this information is passed around. For something like that to not be reported for 11 days, and then suddenly the minute it gets announced from the team, ESPN's top NFL guy who has more sources than God has an article posted at 12:02. They knew that information was coming out. Now, maybe Absolutely. he knew a couple hours before, but how did no one in the local media there, how is no one in the NFL media sphere, how did none of them have any inkling that he was injured in a car accident severely? That is shocking to me. And the only way I can piece that together is there was some kind of effort to not put it out there. At least that's how I see it. Or maybe the team said, please.
It was going to get out.
Yeah, but it got out when the team wanted it to. It didn't get out when, like, that's newsworthy. Then that's something that is different than, say, a schedule release where it's like, hey, this is just the info. We need to get Shams on the NFL beat, apparently.
The fact that.
Just put it out
there. So he can jump the gun.
He can put it out there, at least.
I just want to know the fact that nobody knows, like, what else happened? What else was it? Was there alcohol involved? Was there,
and there probably
somebody
wasn't.
Not paying attention? Did somebody blow a light? Like, the fact that that part of it is not in there is the interesting part
to me. It's very suspicious when you see everyone aligned on this. And again, I'm not indicating that any of that happened. I don't think that we have no evidence to say that that did. But to your point, it's just odd that no one's reporting on this until the team wanted it to. That's not a great look.
Golf Center Ohio in the chat implies that Brandon Ayuk was involved in this.
Well, Brandon Ayuk has a bad driving incident. We hear all about that. The guy who's the head coach of his team has a bad driving incident. Crickets for 11 days? That's weird. There was some drama around the Blue Jackets over the weekend. Was any of it real? We'll tell you about it next. T-Bone and Tyvus on the Fan.
Fan traffic.
From the Atlas Butler Plumbing Services Traffic Center.
Good morning and happy Monday. Still watching a crash on the ramp from 71 northbound to 70 eastbound. This is through the downtown stretch. Expect to encounter crews over there. Everything else moving along with no major issues. I'm 10 TV's Amy Steigerwald with your Fan
6.
Broadcasting live from the McDaniel GM Superstore Studios. Driving excellence since 1916. Chevrolet. Together, let's drive. WBNS HD1 Columbus.
Good morning, I'm Dylan Gonzalez. The Cincinnati Reds defeated the St. Louis Cardinals 5-3 in 10 innings yesterday. Sal Stewart drove in the game-winning run with a pinch-hit RBI single in the extra frame. With the win, the Reds have now won three straight road series for the first time in 3 years. However, the Cleveland Guardians didn't have the same road success over the weekend. They got swept by the Rays after a 1-0 loss yesterday. The Guards had just one hit in the game. Both Ohio MLB teams will meet up in Great American Ballpark for some Ohio Cup action tonight. Cleveland took 2 of 3 from Cincinnati back in May. Chase Burns versus Slade Ciccone is the expected pitching matchup for tonight's game. Coverage starts on the Fan 2 at 6:40. This update is sponsored by TurboTrack Realty. Done with that property? Call John Kosick at TurboTrack Realty for a cash offer today. 614-472-000. Breaking sports news right here on the Fan, Ohio's sports destination.
Tyvus says that in all his years being in football locker rooms, he never once looked at another man's junk. He cannot say the same thing about working at this radio station. You're listening to T-Bone and Tyvus.
Tyvus, you know this about me because you've hung out with me the last year, but I have this thing called ADHD. And part of that is I have a executive dysfunction. You don't know what that is. That's where, like, if you were going to, say, cut up some fruit, mm-hmm. like most normal people would be like, okay, I'll get a knife and I'll cut the fruit and I'll eat it. Mm-hmm. In my brain, it's like, I got to find a cutting board. I don't know if the cutting board's clean. There might be microplastics on the cutting board. I got to think, maybe I shouldn't do that. And then when I cut it, there's going to be like juice is going to get everywhere from the thing. And it messes with me. And then eventually I'm just like, cutting fruit, too much work. I'm not going to do it. And I'll pay the money at the store. I will pay to get the pre-cut fruit because I don't want to deal with that. I don't like to have to think about all the steps of the process. I just want the thing to get done. Mm-hmm. That's why I like Window Nation, because they will come in. Your windows in your house, that's a problem. Maybe they've been a problem for a while, and you're like me. You think, I'm going to have to figure out where to go. I got to do all this comparison. I don't know which windows to get. I don't know which company's reputable. That's a lot of work to figure out. Window Nation is the place to go, because not only are they reputable, they put 3 million windows in people's houses over the years. They have a 5-star rating with the Better Business Bureau. They've got all the stuff you want that way. But also, it's minimal displacement to your life. One day, with Window Nation. They will come in one day, get all the windows out of your house, put the new ones in. And plus, right now, you can get a great deal. 50% off all window styles from Window Nation. Plus, you could get zero down payment and no payments or interest for 2 years. All with a company that will come in, get the job done, one fell swoop, in one day. 50% off windows right now from Window Nation. So get your fast free consultation at windownation.com. They will walk you through the entire process so you don't have to think about all the steps. Windownation.com, 50% off. Go there now.
You know, we're getting towards football season, and I started thinking about, like, training camp. You know, obviously some teams. Did you see the Marvin Harrison from Gardner Minshew play?
I pray. Is it the one that?
The fade, the touchdown?
Oh, no, I didn't see
that.
Oh,
what did you see?
I saw one where it was just a throw with no one guarding him over the middle, and he dropped it.
Yesterday?
I just saw this. People were like, I saw people posting it saying it might be over, and I was like, no!
Are you serious?
It might have been just a simple toss. It might not even have been trying to run. It was. I saw someone posting it saying, it might be over.
I was talking about the touchdown.
No, I didn't see the touchdown. I wish I would have seen that. Why is my... See, your algorithm's positive, mine is negative.
Yeah, he caught a fade for a touchdown. Okay. And I was thinking to myself, okay, here we go. I got to see this, what you talking about.
I just typed into Twitter, Marvin Harrison. All right, so this is, okay.
This is a warm-up, though.
It looks like a warm-up. No one's got gloves on or nothing.
This is just I don't know. Whatever.
See, I would have rather seen the fade, because that is good. That's a nice play right there. One-handed? Yeah, that's nice.
Problem with the play you saw, Tyvus, is that Gardner Minshew isn't going to be throwing him the ball, at least not early in the season, because Jacoby Brissett put his ski mask on and had the Cardinals up for $15 million. I don't understand why they had any incentive to give him money.
You wouldn't take him in fantasy, Jacoby Brissett?
I'm not saying anything bad about Jacoby Brissett. Just given the situation, what was he going to do?
Yeah, fair enough.
I agree.
But
see, this is the thing. And
is
going
to elevate them to 5 wins instead of the 3 they would get with Gardner Minshew?
You know what I'm going to say? The NFL getting soft.
I guess.
I think they getting soft when it comes to business, because back in the day, they would have said, we'll see you. Okay. I'm not paying you nothing. They would have played hardball and said, we'll see you. We'll see what you do, because if you don't sign, what, you go somewhere else? And all the quarterback spots is filled. Even J.J. McCarthy got back.
That's good for him. Sure to work out great.
So there was nowhere for him to go. Like,
it's pretty sad, though, that, like, you're right. I mean, Jacoby Brissett didn't have anywhere to go, but I don't know. I guess the Cardinals are doing right by him.
That's what I'm saying. They've seemed like over the years they become more, I'm going to do right by the player.
By the way, did you see?
Soft.
Well.
They ain't do right by me.
Here's my you wouldn't do that. My cynical theory is that they just paid $15 million to insure themselves the number one pick next year. They're like, yeah, let him have.
Well, didn't
please, yeah, why not?
Please
didn't
stay
he play
here.
Well,
he plays well. He's like Joe Flacco. He plays well.
I don't think it's
for
don't
a
know,
few
man.
Games.
Did you see? So Nathaniel Hackett's their offensive coordinator in Arizona. Mm-hmm. Did you see what he said about their first round pick this year, Jeremiah Love?
That. James Conner going to be the starter.
Yeah, he was up at the podium, and they asked him, like, how do you feel about the running back room? He's like, really good, excited to see James get out there. James is really, like, all about James Conner. And they're like, how's Jeremiah Love looking? He's like, well, he's a rookie. And it's just...
I'm going to tell you right now.
Man, like...
I'm going to tell you right now.
We got Nathaniel Hackett, noted loser, is out here like, I don't know, I don't think this guy can do it. I don't think you can do it, Nathaniel Hackett. How about that?
Give me a second.
One time you were good was when, Tom Brady, Aaron Rodgers was throwing passes, and you were near him. That's the only time you did anything of relevance.
You know who Michael Bidwell is?
He was the owner of the team, right? Is he the GM?
He's the owner.
Owner of the Cardinals.
Michael, come down. Listen, let me tell you something. Come here. He seen that press conference. He said, Nathan, you know, come upstairs. Let me talk to you. Come sit down on my couch. I'm going to let you know something. We took this man with
third overall.
We going to see him. We love James Conner. He's a great player. Great back. Put Jeremiah Love in. Mm-hmm. I don't know what you're doing.
I would hope so. I would think so. Speaking of things that don't make sense. So over the weekend, I saw this about the Blue Jackets. All the Montreal media, just all up in arms. They're getting Kirill Marchenko. They're going to swipe him out from the Blue Jackets.
Who's saying this?
The Montreal Canadiens, like all the media around there. Yes, the Habs. One of the great teams in the NHL. They can't stand Columbus. They are one of those franchises that whenever their writers come here or any of the people that cover the team, they're like, ugh, Who can even live in a backwater town like Columbus, Ohio? Like, they hate the cannon. They hate everything about this
city. Can you say that in your French accent?
No.
Okay.
I feel like I'm probably, I don't know if I, yeah, I was okay. Trying to do one earlier today, and it was not going well. I couldn't do it. In either case, so there was an account called Hockey Insider with two R's on Twitter that said, yeah, he's going to Montreal. He's in between two teams. There was some quote from like a Russian newspaper as well that said someone close to Marchenko said he's in between two teams right now because he knows he's getting traded to Montreal. Well, Dan Milstein, who is Kirill Marchenko's agent, you can find him on Twitter at HockeyAgent1, said about this Hockey Insider report, said, incredible reporting. Truly, the confidence here is doing a lot of heavy lifting. Shame it's not attached to anything real, but hey, the likes don't know that. Also, Aaron Portsline said from his sources, he said, I'm told there's nothing happening with the Blue Jackets on the Kirill Marchenko front, despite rumors out of Russia to the contrary. Not saying it can't change later this summer, but my understanding is the Blue Jackets have not had calls on Marchenko since earlier this summer. So,
people not even, either they shut it down or people not interested. Which one is it?
Well, they're interested. It's more of they're not interested enough with the offers. Mm-hmm. That's what I think. Because, yeah. Again, this is just people online talking, but I saw some of the Montreal fans who were just like, oh, we could get, like, sorry, let me back that up. So they said, we could give up, and they would name, like, prospect number one, prospect number two, ass prospect number three, ass prospect number four, and then we'll get Kirill Marchenko. And it's like, no, are you new here? You can dislike what Don Waddell is doing this offseason with the Blue Jackets as a Blue Jackets fan, that's fine.
He ain't letting
there is no circumstance for letting Kirill Marchenko go. For prospects, like, you have to send back actual pieces. I even saw one trade proposal was like, well, we give up our top three prospects so, and then we could get Fantilli. Are you out of your mind?
Oh,
these people think Columbus is just, and rightfully so, I guess, that the Jackets are not a serious organization. At times it has felt like that, but even the Jackets are not going to trade away Kirill Marchenko for prospects. I mean, they shouldn't. If they do, I'll be in the streets with all of you rioting. Because that's just insane if they do that. I hope not.
You see, all right, what about, they got Cole Sillinger.
Yeah, they re-signed. Today was supposed to be arbitration day for Cole Sillinger. They avoided that. So I like the Jackets avoiding arbitration at the last minute. That's good. On that one, at least they got it done a few days beforehand. With Jack Greaves, it was like right up to the line. But that's fine. However you got to get it done, I'm glad they did.
Great moral victories for this offseason.
Yeah, no doubt. This is an offseason that started with Zach Werenski sounding like he didn't want to be here. And then the victory lap that everybody took was, he's not leaving yet. And it's like, okay. And maybe that's the same for Kirill Marchenko. He's not leaving yet, but
they might get into the season and, you know, start off on fire and they might have a change of heart.
I love how his agent said they're not getting offers on him right now. But as soon as they do, as soon as they come fire.
Yeah, of course. Yes. They'll trust me. They'll be there.
We wouldn't mind getting the hell out of here.
I heard a wild comparison from a former Buckeye about a current Buckeye. We'll tell you about it next. T-Bone and Tyvus on The Fan.
Fan traffic.
From the Atlas Butler Plumbing Services Traffic Center.
Good morning and happy Monday. We are watching a crash on the ramp from 71 northbound to 70 eastbound. Crews are working to clear this out right now, but expect some delays in the downtown area as they clear that up. We're also watching crews clear out a crash at Rich Street and Sandusky Street. Crews are on scene over there. Also a crash over off of Wagoner Grove Boulevard. This is far in the Black Lake area. Expect some delays as you lead up to that crash. I'm 10TV's Amy Steigerwald with your Fan.
The Fan has a secret radio station. It's called The Fan 2. You can listen to the Bob and Tom Show, Jim Rome, and Buckeye stuff. Why do they pay me big money to whisper? The Fan 2 is on The Fan's HD2 channel and streaming on The Fan app. You're welcome. Fan weather.
From the Logan AC and Heat Services Weather Center.
We have some patches of fog out there to start the day. Otherwise, plan for a partly cloudy Monday. Could be a few showers or storms coming up later on today, mainly in western Ohio, however. Looking for a warm and humid afternoon, highs in the upper 80s. For tonight, scattered thunderstorms are likely. May produce gusty winds, lows around 70. Storm chance ends early tomorrow, partly cloudy, mid-80s. For The Fan, I'm 10 Weather Impact meteorologist Justin Gertz.
The Big 9 was a sad, incomplete place. Enter Ohio State. The rest is history. The Buckeye Show.
Weeknights at 6.
The Fan. Both of these men played sports in high school. Only one of them was good at it. You're listening to T-Bone and Tyvus.
It's that time of the year. Ohio State fans, your first look in the 2026 Buckeye season is here. Join us August 6th through the 8th at the Woody Hayes Athletic Center for Ohio State's football training camp presented by Safe Flight and Bob Discount Furniture. You can watch live practice, get autographs, take photos with select players, and experience the start of a new season up close. The tickets are limited, and they're going fast. Just $48 for general admission or upgrade to VIP for shaded seating, refreshments, and more. Secure your spot today at OhioStateBuckeyes.com. Don't miss your chance to be part of the Buckeye Nation kickoff in 2026.
We had asked on the YouTube chat for some of your suggestions for a new slogan for the SEC, because the SEC slogan of "it just means more" doesn't really sound accurate, given all the loser talk we heard last week from their, the media days they did?
Yes. Which is ours is this week, right?
I believe so. Big Ten media days are this week.
I think JP's going.
I'm sure he is.
He is.
Yeah, that would make sense. Joshua Perry. We'll talk to Joshua coming up at 8:30. We'll ask him about it. But I saw that Downtown Dad had a slogan that said, "We have to play Kentucky." That's their. I like that for the SEC. We can't play anybody good outside of the conference because we have to go to like
Arkansas,
Starkville,
no Mississippi State,
Starkville at night with the cowbells,
Stark Vegas, baby, Stark Vegas.
Believe he said that
with a straight face too. Just insane levels of cope from the SEC people. So yeah. Anyway, that's a good suggestion. I like that. Also, Craig in the chat said, of course, T-Bone saw the negative play from Marvin Harrison. Tyvus, please keep the optimism coming. You will win over the negative powers. Yeah, you're probably... Listen, I didn't mean to see the negative play. If I had seen that one-handed catch he made, I would have felt great about that. The one I saw...
Yeah, you said that, I'm like, wait a minute, what?
I didn't see it. So funny, though. Look at what Twitter's doing to us. It's dividing us, because you click on positive things, I click on negative things, and it's like, oh, you want that? And it just shovels more to us. Why not shovel the opposite? You need brought down... Like... Your optimism needs occasionally tempered. My pessimism needs to be uplifted sometimes by positive. Why not give us the opposite of what we're looking at?
You gotta restart your algorithm.
Apparently.
Can you do that? I'm pretty sure you can.
You gotta train it.
You have to go in there and like, you have to think about it when you're like, if you want cars on your timeline, you have to like Google or on your timeline, just look up car pictures and then like them and all that stuff. And then follow some car accounts. And if you keep interacting with it, eventually it'll be like, oh, this guy likes cars. And then it'll start putting, you know, whatever type of car you're like. If you only like Fords and you don't like Chevys or vice versa, it'll get that specific, but you have to go in there and really train it.
Yeah. Phone would stop liking toxic tweets and stop sarcastically quote tweeting positive ones, then it would probably change.
Oh, you know me too well. That's
this one-on-one rep. This was against Denzel Burke, wasn't it?
Was it?
I think it is.
Oh, wow.
I wasn't even talking about that one. I was talking about the play, the actual throw touchdown that they had in the team drill.
Did you guys see what? Okay, so sorry to now we're talking about
Marvin Harrison.
We're talking about Buckeyes.
Oh, yes.
But this thought got me to what Chris Carter said yesterday. Or I guess this was a couple days ago in his podcast, we missed it. Here's what he said about not Julian Sain, put it that way. Chris Carter talking about Tavian St. Clair.
What do you think of Tavian St. Clair, the backup for the Buckeyes?
Redshirt freshman from Bell Fountain, Ohio. He looks like a version of Patrick Mahomes. Really good athlete, can be a dual threat, is more of a pocket passer, had a great spring, good looking prospect. And I think what Ryan Day and the quarterbacks that he's developed, he's a better thrower than Justin Fields. Not as good a runner as Justin Fields, but man, I don't want to see a guy running like Justin Fields is running, because ultimately it hurts your growth and develop as a passer, especially anticipating down the field. I saw him this year, spent the week with the Buckeyes in spring football. Yes, he looks like the next starting quarterback. If our guy, Justin Sain, decides to leave college with 2 years of eligibility left, the Buckeyes are going to be in good hands. Him and Chris Henry Jr. and a bunch of other brown little kid from Trotwood, Madison. Yeah, I done my high school scouting. Yes, okay. Future NFL quarterback.
All right. Just point of reference for the legend, Chris Carter, his name is Julian Sain, not Justin Sain. If Justin Sain can't get it done, Tavian St. Clair is ready to step in.
I will say this. Be careful. Be careful on pushing people out the door.
Yeah.
Just be careful.
Yeah.
Like, I understand the hype around Tavian St. Clair, but, you know, I'm going to enjoy Julian until Julian's not good. Because it's to the point where it's like, people like Julian is just a guy. He's a Jag.
And I'm I'm not there.
That's kind of crazy. I'm not there. But that's kind of how people are treating it. Like, he's just a guy. So I'd be a little bit, I'd temper my expectations a little bit when it comes to Tavian St. Clair. I mean, there's a lot going on there. I get it. From a physical standpoint, when you look at his traits, it looks great. You know, you see him in the spring game. He launches some deep passes to Chris Henry Jr. It looks great. But there's a lot of things that go into a preparation for a game and going out there and actually executing a game plan against starters. So I just would, you know, he'll get there. I'm not necessarily confident that he's all the way there right now.
He's going to get where? I hope you're not talking like Chris Carter, where his floor is Justin Fields and his ceiling is Patrick Mahomes.
Dude, it is wild that you're getting a Pat Mahomes comparison for a guy who has played minimal competitive snaps at all at Ohio State, right? Like, this is nothing against Tavian St. Clair. I want to be clear. He didn't ask for that expectation to be put on him by a former Buckeye, right? And someone who's been in the NFL and all that stuff, and obviously is a Hall of Famer in that regard. Like, he's not... Guys aren't asking for these comparisons to be made, but they get made, and then people adopt them as their own, and they're like, oh, yeah, that's the expectation now. No, it's not. Like, I mean, I would love for that to happen, but let's all, to your point, Tyvus, let's go back and look at reality here. Julian saying, I think initially when he came in, there, you know, there's a quarterback battle, but everyone kind of thought Julian saying is going to be the dude, right? And what happens now in sports fandom, at least online sports fandom, I don't know about real life necessarily. I don't think it's the same. But online sports fandom, you get these people who are just like, Julian Sayin's a dog. That's my guy. That's the leader of this. And then, like, Julian Sayin has some great games, and people are like, greatest quarterback, GOAT. And you're like, is he the GOAT? I don't know that he's the GOAT. He's playing very well. That's good. Then what you have is a game where he doesn't have Hall of Fame level guys, at least college Hall of Fame level guys, in my opinion, right? Some of his stud receivers, like Jeremiah Smith, that's a guy who we know is going to walk into the NFL, be the number one of the top five receivers in the league, probably when he gets there, right?
Yes.
That's not unfair to say. When that guy goes out of games, Julian Sayin looked less than flawless, right? Mm-hmm. There were some flaws.
Mm-hmm.
He was a first-year starter last year. Flaws were exposed.
Yes.
Championship, bigger games, right? Big Ten championship game, playoff game, against really good defenses, he was okay. He had ups and downs. He made some plays. He probably had some throws he'd want back. It's growth. You have to keep growing and learning. All I'm saying is, then the backlash came to, oh, is this your GOAT? Oh, is this your greatest quarterback you've ever seen at Ohio State? What's he doing? Why is he not looking as good? You guys all thought he was the greatest quarterback ever. Now he looks human. And then the backlash becomes like over the top extra on the other way. Like, maybe it should be Tavian St. Clair. And why can't we just have normal discussion about this and say, hey, Julian Sayin was a first-year starter. He had some really good moments last year. He had some moments he needs to grow. He is not a finished product, which is what I've been saying this entire time. And you don't need to put Tavian St. Clair in, and you don't need to put Pat Mahomes' name on Tavian St. Clair. You can just watch Julian Sayin play and evaluate the play as it happens. And if it happens that he is bad, he won't be in there. But I don't think that's going to be the case.
I would say that the one thing that I love about Julian is he is extremely accurate. I mean, the guy, he led the NCAA in completion percentage last year. For single season, the record is tied by Bo Nix and Mac Jones with 77.4. He finished the season with 77 in his first year as a starter.
Yeah.
Like, he's right there.
That's pretty great.
So to me, like, that's the one thing I can say what I love about his game is his accuracy as a quarterback. You know, last year we got into the debate with Bo about he throws the ball the best as far as it, like, coming to flying out of his hands.
It's, he
like,
said the quickest release he's ever seen.
Whatever it was. And to me, that's held a lot of weight. You know, I think that probably is true. And I was looking at this article yesterday that was saying, like, how NFL teams are starting to scout him seriously as a top prospect in this upcoming draft. And obviously, we've been saying that he's going to probably get compared the most to a Bryce Young and all those things, who's, by the way, he's changed his game and he's upped his game in the NFL as well. So, This is a big year for Julian. And I'm not in a rush to see Tavian St. Clair. When we get to Tavian, we'll get to Tavian. But I think that this is going to be a great year for Tavian to be the backup, to learn. There's going to be games that he's going to get in there, get some snaps, get some game reps and stuff like that. That's going to be really good for him. But I'm not trying to push Julian out the door.
No, right now. I'm not either. I do think, like, to your point about completion percentage, like, I would like to see his numbers in the games where it wasn't easy. You know what I mean? Like, take his four worst games and let's look at those completion percentages. But when you do that, you also have to account for, did the coaches put him in a great position with the offensive line? Did they have four tight ends out there in red zone, right? Like, did they do things that put him in the best spot to win? I think there's some of that that has to be addressed. And by the way, they did. They went out and got a new offensive coordinator, an NFL head coach, who's now your offensive coordinator, and Arthur Smith. So, yeah, like, there's a lot of variables to this. But the idea that those who have made a decision that Julian Sain was awesome before he ever took a snap, you're delusional. The people who now are saying Julian Sain can't play football and we need to move on, also delusional. There's a vast Grand Canyon of middle ground, which is, I don't know. I think Julian Sain's okay to great. We'll find out this season. That's why they play the game. So I'm ready to watch that happen. I'm sick of all the talk.
And I think for the people that are pining for TSV to go out there, they need to remember that he was playing Division III football 2 years ago and he might need some development despite the fact that he has all the tangible qualities.
I love the fact that he wanted to be a Buckeye and he's like a big time recruit and there was really no question where he was going. And I hope he stays here and is awesome. And I hope that happens after Julian Sain goes out and wins a Heisman this year and a national championship and is a top five pick in the NFL draft. Like, what is wrong with hoping for all of that? I don't get it. Running back who picked Tennessee over Ohio State isn't saying much, but his family certainly is. You'll hear what they had to say in 2 minutes. T-Bone and Tybus on the Fan.
Fan traffic.
From the Atlas Butler Plumbing Services Traffic Center.
Good morning and happy Monday. Crews are working to clear out a crash on the ramp from 71 northbound to 70 eastbound. Also in the downtown area, Rich Street at Sandusky. Crews are clearing out a crash in that area as well. And then out in Blacklick off of North Wagoner Road, we've got crews clearing out a crash. Again, that's off of North Wagoner Road, a little bit north of Broad Street. I'm 10 TD's Amy Steckerwald with your Fan.
T-Bone and Tybus is sponsored by Capital Ford of Columbus. Find your dream ride and get approved fast at CapitalFordOfColumbus.com. Tybus will put anything in his mouth on a dare. All right, almost anything. No, I stand by my previous statement. This is T-Bone and Tybus.
Tybus just looked at me and said, hey, don't we do Overachiever of the Week at 7:45? Yeah, we do. I didn't put it on the sheet because I'm dumb. So that's coming up 15 minutes away.
You guys also have a terrible producer.
Hey, that's all right. It's, Dylan, it's all right. It's on me, buddy. And what's crazy is I looked at it yesterday. I was putting the sheet together. I'm like, oh, yeah, Overachiever at 7:45, Joshua Perry at 8:30.
Well, that messed me up because I know we try to do some, you know, we were redoing some stuff, and I didn't know if that was one of the things.
No. That's, yeah, we got, yeah, we're going to update some of our lineup for what we're doing. Not on the air, like not our hosts. I'm not saying this right. The things we do day to day on our show only, we may change some of that before football season. Some new segments. That's
we should have had that conversation on the air.
Oh, about a new lineup? Yeah, I agree. They already are at the border. Trust me. They're like, these guys, I'm not so sure, right? That's we're waiting for Tony Romo to win.
Yeah, like a couple weeks ago on Fan Sports Sunday, we had Cold fill out his timesheet on the air. That was entertaining stuff. I was like, dude, this is what we're here for, to get paid. So make sure you do that before you do anything else.
Yeah, you have to. That's first priority. Get paid. Absolutely right. Speaking of getting paid, the guy who decided to turn down Ohio State, what's his name? DGG?
Mm-hmm. David Gabriel Georges.
David Gabriel Georges, yes. The running back who was originally from Canada but plays in Tennessee, I want to say.
Yes.
High school football. He picked Tennessee Volunteers over Ohio State Buckeyes.
He also wants Kirill Marchenko to go to the Montreal Canadiens.
Oh, yes, 100% right. He's not my guy. So this is from an article titled Fringe Factor Fleeced the Fun from DGG's Recruitment. Fringe Factor. That's right. This is by a guy named Stephen Hargis, who writes for Chattanooga Times Free Press, all right? He is quoting family members from the DGG camp who said, hey, why did you pick Tennessee over? His question was, why did he pick Tennessee over Ohio State? Here's a little bit of what was said. Now, again, these are off the record. These are on the record, but No names given. So I guess that's on background if you're a journalist. Some of his family said this. Nothing against the staff at Ohio State, but Tennessee just out-recruited them, plain and simple. Another person close to the family told Hargis that football felt more like a chore at Ohio State than it did at Tennessee. Also, Hargis quoted Gabriel Georges as saying earlier in this process, money didn't change anything for me. The main factor was the people, friends who are there, and the people I want to surround myself with. That chore comment is the one that's getting a lot of play around online, because the idea that it, like, oh, it's fun at Tennessee, it's more like work at Ohio State.
Yeah, good. Go have fun.
That's how I feel. Go ahead. That takes me back to when I was here and Coach Meyer was recruiting. So, I can't remember who the kid was, but he was recruiting the kid, and it was between us and the Wolverines. And the kid comes down here, and he says, how'd you like your Wolverines visit? He said, it's good. They be chilling up there. And he looked at him, and he said, if you like that, don't come here. We don't chill. We do not chill. And I used to laugh at it every time, because I'm like, nah, he right. They do not chill around here.
Yeah, man.
So when I hear him say, like, yeah, they have fun. Like, it's fun up there. Okay, go have fun.
Yeah, I will.
Not for everybody. And the crazy thing is, I think that running back is going to be really good. I really think he's a good dude, a good kid. He's very talented. But I honestly, when you look into it and you dive into it and you talk behind the scenes, Tennessee offered a deal that just couldn't be passed up. And I don't blame him at all for taking Tennessee. The deal was too good.
No, I mean, I don't blame him for taking the money and taking the deal. But the other part of that is I also don't blame Ohio State at all for saying we're not going to pay a guy. We're not going to go out of our realm of what we do. We're not going to go give someone the number that we've set up as a thing that is a reward for you being a great Buckeye. We're not going to change our whole process for one guy. Because when you do that, to me, that feels like, didn't we do the story about USC calling up Matt Leinart and saying, hey, can we take your jersey
number 11
that we've retired because you won a Heisman? Can we give that back to this recruit who wants it? And he said, no. And good for him. Like, have standards for your program. Now, that might mean you miss out on some big-time recruits, and I get that. But as I keep trying to tell everybody, if you don't get the stud running back in this recruiting cycle, you can go to the stud running back store in January and go pick one up. Now, you may have to pay $2 million for him, but guess what? That's going to be someone who was, like, all SEC, or someone who, like, did the thing somewhere else behind a worse offensive line, and they still banged in 1,200 yards and, 10 touchdowns or something like that. I'll pay for that. Pay for that over potential at the very least. So I'm not thrilled that he picked Tennessee. I'm not worried about it. Like, some people are like, what does this say about recruiting? It says that I've been telling you, high school recruiting is not where it used to be, folks. Half these guys that got in this class, half these guys are coming in 2027. We're seeing the names, we're seeing the booms, we're seeing all the, hey, they got this many guys in the class. That's fine. Half those dudes aren't going to be here in 2028. Because you're going to go pick up 20 dudes out of the portal who are going to replace them, who've already done it at the college level. So I'm not worried about it.
You got some new slogans for the SEC.
Go ahead.
Rusty says, SEC, we play school. Trey Brown, SEC, go have fun.
I like that. That's good. How about SEC, it just means poor. Because they can't deal with the Big Ten when it comes to money and NIL.
Remember the Chappelle Show sketch where reparations were given and the woman who gets on camera is like, oh, hide the money, all the poor people are out. Like, that's SEC now. Here's another one for the SEC.
I just could not give a bollocks.
Yeah, they don't give a bollocks. They don't care. Hey, just come down here and have fun.
One of the quotes you said was that it was about the people at Tennessee.
Yeah.
What's he going to do when the people like Josh Heupel aren't there in 2 years?
Well,
then what's he going to do?
I'll just say, of all the schools to say, there, I really feel like everyone's going to make me extremely comfortable, given the fact that, like, they've had multiple high-profile players, recruits, etc., who have said, yeah, this isn't the spot for me.
Yeah, I'm assuming that when he went on his recruiting visit, they didn't let him talk to Chaz Coleman. Like, that never happened.
Right. So, yeah, and who knows? He could be the Jeremiah Smith of running backs.
Hopefully he is.
Is that fair to say?
Hopefully,
I mean, he could be that good of a player. And if he is, then like I said, in a couple years when they go 8-4 and Josh Heupel is shown the door, then you can go recruit him back to come play for the Buckeyes his sophomore or junior year. That's fine. Go do it. I don't worry about it, man. This is the business of college football now. It is like free agency in the NFL, except there are zero rules to it. Like, you don't have a salary cap. I mean, they theoretically do. They theoretically have the clearinghouse, but you can make business cases for a guy who is as good as he's projected to be to give him. They were going to let him have, what was it, $2 million is what Tennessee's offer was to him? Per year?
Reportedly, yeah.
Okay. Remember that clearinghouse said, we're going to look at everything over $6,000. You're giving a guy who's not played a down of football $2 million, and you're telling me that you can make a business case for that. I'm saying the rules don't apply. So in a couple years, if you decide you want to go get him and he's really awesome, you can come back with a bigger offer if you really need it. You can do it next year if you want to, honestly.
I mean, Bo Jackson's going to be the starter next year. He has to come back for a junior season after that. Let him get some development seasoning down in Knoxville.
Yeah.
Maybe he could make a trip up here.
Dude, we don't know what Tennessee's going to do this year. What if they lose five games?
They could start out like Penn State last year. Yeah. And Heupel could get fired.
If he gets fired, then guess what? You got a Julian Sayin situation on your hands at Tennessee, don't you think?
Yeah.
Where you're there, you're signing, may do the early signing thing, get there, and then 2 weeks later be like, oh, wait, they fired the coach. Never mind, I'm getting out of here. Like, that's the nature of the beast now, so I'm not worried about it. News to me, Overachiever of the Week, coming up next. T-Bone and Tyfus on the Fan.
Fan traffic.
From the Atlas Butler Plumbing Services Traffic Center.
Good morning and happy Monday. No problems on your Central Ohio roadways. Busy traffic on I-70 right near 256 in Reynoldsburg and coming into downtown on 71 northbound. We are watching a little bit of a delay as you approach that 70-71 split, but nothing too concerning here on your Monday. I'm 10TV's Amy Steigerwald with your Fan.
Call now.
Common Man and Timmy are inviting select jabronis to the station for pizza. Hey, that could be you. Email goodcleanboy@gmail.com and tell us why you should be chosen.
Presented by Billiards Plus and sponsored by Paisano Peppers.
The Fan. All your favorite fan shows are available when you want them.
Head to 971thefan.com and hit that subscribe button.
The Fan, Ohio sports destination. One of these guys still believes he can play in the NFL. It's T-Bone. He says it's because of his low center of gravity. He's dumb. This is Bone and Tyfus.
You know, something happened this weekend in this town that every year of my life, since I've been aware of it, I have said, I got to do that next year. Every year of my life, I see this on the news, I see people talking about it, and I always see it after it's over.
Can I guess what it is?
Yeah, go ahead.
Jazz and Rib Fest.
Bang.
Yeah.
Every year, I forgot that was happening.
I didn't go this year, but I've been many a times.
Is the ribs fire?
Oh, yes.
See, I don't know why, because I love live music, I love good food. The festival, literally, if they have anything else there, I don't know it, because it's jazz and ribs.
Yes.
It's all you need. Who needs more than that? Apparently, it's great weather this weekend, too. So if you got to go out there, I'm glad you got to go. I wish I would have gone. Every year I see this after the fact and go, how did I miss this again? Every stinking year. So next year, probably won't go. But I'm going to try. I'm going to try really hard next year to make it happen.
And now, it's time to highlight someone who's better than us in every single way. Meet our Overachiever of the Week.
Sponsored by Columbus Worthington Air. Your trusted experts in air conditioning and heating 7 days a week.
Tyfus, you can start us off today. Who is your Overachiever of the Week?
My Overachiever of the Week goes out to Dominique Malonga, the girl who dunked in WNBA All-Star game.
Is she from Seattle?
I believe.
I got to look.
Hold on, let me look right quick. Yeah, she is. She's from the Storm.
She's, I think, she was the second pick in the draft.
Yep.
Six.
Yep.
Yeah, and she did. I saw it. She dunked with ease.
Came down the lane, dunked it. I said, and you know what's so funny? I like saw it on Twitter, found the video, and sent it to my nephew. And said, told me they don't dunk. Check this out.
WNBA All-Star Game was this weekend, if you didn't see it.
Shout out to Kelsey Mitchell, team high.
Yeah.
28 points.
But nobody
was shocked by that.
I saw Kelsey Mitchell's teammate. I believe her last name is Clark.
Yeah.
First name, Caitlin.
Pulling from the logo
multiple times. Yeah. Like, that was a fun watch, if you flipped over to that at all. There was a lot of just... You know, again, it's just like the NBA All-Star Game and a lot of All-Star Games where defense was not a factor for most of it. But who cares? Like, I guess I know some people care, but just on the fact that you're watching star players do great things, that's fun to me. So, yeah, I enjoyed watching the WNBA All-Star game, but good call there, Tyvus. Dylan, what do you got?
My overachiever is a man by the name of Tadej Pogačar.
Oh.
From Slovenia. He won his fifth Tour de France over the weekend, which is tied for the most because Tyvus's guy, I'm assuming, because Tyvus loves roid ragers. Lance Armstrong, seven in a row, does not count.
You better stop. You better stop that.
You probably wore a Livestrong bracelet.
I did. I cut it off. I had a yellow one. I cut it off as soon as he was guilty.
Well, see, for him, though, it wasn't just like, oh, man, he used some roids. It's also like he threatened journalists' careers. He got people fired when they dared to say, like, hey, it looks pretty obvious that he's doing this. He went, like, so hardcore to sue people, to call them libelous and slanderous. And then it turns out, no, they were all right. You were wrong. You're a scumbag. So that's too bad. So, what was his name again?
Tadej Pogačar.
I have Taha, a Brun. We have a Tada and a Taha in the overachievers.
Hell yeah.
Taha Brun, who is a homegrown player for the Crew on the U.S. men's national team radar. And he is like an academy product that they, you know, they had this kid. He's been playing in their system. He's played on Crew 2. Now he's up with the big club. And he's had an up and down like season so far, but he's still a young player. He's 20 years old. FC Cincinnati came to town, or as I like to call them, Kentucky FC. Hell is real. Last Saturday night, he went out and played one of the best games I've seen in the black and gold since I've been watching Crew soccer, which goes for about the entirety of their history. He played a phenomenal game. Now, did he have any goals? No. Did he have, though, 47 accurate passes from 51 attempts? Yes, he did. He had two shots, one on target, one off target. He won two tackles. He committed two fouls. He got fouled a bunch, too. Here's what I'm telling you. Go back and watch that game and look for number 16 and just see how many times the ball is going through him, around him, by him. Like, he's helping out in so many different ways. Mm. He's tracking back on defense. He's making plays on offense, especially in the second half. He came alive. And I watched that and I said, this is what they need. They need a midfielder who's box to box, who can go back and forth, play defense, play offense, do all the above. He was the guy at the end of that game who got kicked in the shins and got the dude thrown out from FC Cincinnati after the game was pretty much over and the Crew were kind of killing it off.
You didn't give it to Farsi? Is it
Mohammed Farsi.
That's who should get it.
Well, let me tell you right now.
He's staying on business.
So, we need to talk about that. So, after this game, hell is real, 2-1, Crew get the victory, right? And it's great. But at the very end, Taha Habrun, my guy, gets fouled. And what I love to see, I'm sure you would agree with this, Tyvus, like, when the foul like that happens, in whatever sport it is, if the rest of the team is just like, fouls happen, what are you going to do? That may not speak well to team camaraderie.
Yes.
I saw the entire team run over and get in that dude's face from FC Cincinnati.
Well, it was egregious.
It was egregious, but they had his back. And that's what you love to see is, like, you're not going to let that stand. So, I forget who the player's name is from FC Cincinnati. And you know what?
Dado?
Dado? Dado?
Something like that.
Data from Star Trek. I don't know. Dado Valenzuela. That's who it was. So he gets a red card for this egregious action. They send him off the field. The TV cameras catch him walking off the field, and you see him gesturing to somebody and says, after the game, come over here to the tunnel. Like, come meet me in the tunnel, basically. So then they try to restart the game. They restart the referee, I don't think, actually ever restarted the game. He just called it done. He was like, because there still was kind of pushing and shoving, goodness. And he's like, the game is over, we're done. They go to a wide shot on the TV screen, and you see this yellow dart just running across the field towards the player's entrance. And I'm like, uh-oh, that's Mo Farsi. And you see him running, and they cut to a close-up, and I saw your guy, Nico Hagan, who's the backup goalie, is holding him back because he darted across the field to go finish some business. And I feel like that's called you were invited. He was RSVPing. That was not starting a fight, but he was invited to a fight, and he said, let me hand deliver this RSVP right to you. I saw Adam King and Nicole Sheeran were both in the tunnel, and they had video of this. It went, the most egregious thing to me was I'm watching it on Fox on a FS1. They cut to, they were like, well, that's the end of the game. And you see like guys running into the tunnel. There's clearly a fight going on. And they're like, anyway, hell is real. On to the next game. And they just, ended the broadcast.
They missed out on a golden opportunity.
Complete journalism malpractice.
For people that love clicks and all those things, they missed out on a golden opportunity.
Mo Farsi was there. He was ready. And I like it. I don't think it's classless at all. When someone starts a fight, if they invite you to the fight, that's different than if you go start the fight.
Meet me in the tunnel.
He said, great, I will. Thank you for the invitation, sir.
He said, don't meet me there. I'm going to beat you there.
I'll tell you, Mo Farsi is one of those guys on the crew. I don't care how tall he is. I don't care what his height and weight, all that stuff. I wouldn't mess with that dude. That is a guy who, he seems like a very nice gentleman off the field, but on the field, he's not taking any crap.
Side note, did you see the thing at Huntington Park, the baseball that Adam and Nicole was at?
Yeah, I saw they had like a, was it the neon light
thing?
What were they calling that?
Cosmic baseball?
Yeah.
I didn't know nothing about this, but it looks really cool.
So if you didn't see any of this video, yeah, go check out Adam King or Nicole Sheeran's pages on Twitter, Instagram, whatever. I'm sure that's where they have it posted. But yeah, there it was like neon baseball, essentially, where they put black lights all around the field.
Yes.
The players' uniforms are all like black light reactive.
There's green, and one's green, one's purple.
Yeah.
Or not purple, pink.
But then they had like a baseball, and the bases were all
neon.
Yes.
Yeah.
And they played it essentially.
Cosmic Chili Peppers and the Glow Mojas in neon uniforms.
Okay.
My nephew went. He's like 12. He enjoyed it.
Oh, dude.
He had a grand old time.
I wish I would have paid attention to stuff like, now we had a bunch. My daughter was in a production this whole weekend, so we were at that stuff.
Haven't even talked about that.
Oh, it was great. They did awesome. It was a lot of fun to watch. These kids did Between the Lines. It was a great production.
Cool.
Very shout out to the Marysville Theater people who put that on, Red School of Music. They did an awesome job. But like, if we didn't have stuff going on, that's the type of thing I would have loved to have checked out. Like a neon baseball game like that. It's kitschy and weird and goofy. It's not traditional baseball, but yeah, I could see kids enjoying that. I'd enjoy it. I just don't know how you catch the baseball. Because, you know, I mean, it's still a baseball, folks. If they hit it like a million miles an hour back at you like that, I wonder if they soften up the bats or do something. I don't know what they could do. Like, how do you make it so you don't get a line drive at 105 miles an hour coming off the bat face and you're the pitcher? Like, I don't care what color the ball is. You're still not catching that.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that would, but whatever. It seems like it was a good time out there.
My nephew had a ball somehow, and he's my nephew, and I love him, but he ain't catching a screamer off the bat. So they had to have
got
it to him softly somehow.
Yeah, that one seems good for them that they were able to put that on, because that seems dangerous, but it also seems like it'd be really exciting to see.
This seems like a great alternative for those that can't get access to Savannah Bananas. I've tried and have failed many times.
Dude, I saw they were in Chicago at Wrigley. Jeez, I never would have thought that would be a thing you would see, is a Savannah Bananas playing, but they do. They play baseball stadiums now and they fill them
day
up.
Day games is fun.
It's crazy.
I got to see one.
Yeah? Did you go to one?
When it was at Huntington, what was that, 2 years ago?
Oh my gosh. Yes. The fact that they were at Huntington Park 2 years ago and now they're filling up like football stadiums.
Yeah,
that's insane. Did a Browns receiver make his pick for the Browns' next quarterback? We'll tell you about it next. T-Bone and Tyvus on The Fan.
Fan traffic
from the Atlas Butler Plumbing Services Traffic Center.
Hey there and happy Monday. Right now, no crashes on your Central Ohio roadways. Everything's moving along just fine. We are seeing a little bit of a delay on I-70 as you come in from the west side. Also on 71 as you make your way into the downtown stretch. But overall, things are looking really good. I'm 10 TV's Amy Steigerwald with your favorite
44.
Broadcasting live from the McDaniel GM Superstore Studios, driving excellence since 1916. Chevrolet. Together, let's drive. WBNS HD1 Columbus.
Good morning, I'm Dylan Gonzalez. The Cincinnati Reds defeated the St. Louis Cardinals 5-3 in 10 innings yesterday. Sal Stewart drove in the game-winning run with a pinch-hit RBI single in the extra frame. With the win, the Reds have now won three straight road series for the first time in three seasons. However, the Cleveland Guardians didn't have the same road success over the weekend. They got swept in Tampa after a 1-0 loss yesterday. The Guards had just one hit in the game. Both Ohio MLB teams will meet up in Great American Ballpark for Ohio Cup action tonight. Cleveland took 2 of 3 from Cincinnati back in May. Chase Burns versus Slade Ciccone is the expected pitching matchup for tonight's game. Coverage starts on The Fan 2 at 6:40. This update is sponsored by Awaken 180 Weight Loss. Warmer weather, more time outside. Summer gives weight loss a head start. Awaken 180 gives you the plan to make it happen. The official weight loss program of summer.
In terms of the Waffle House menu, Tybus covered and smothered his opponents. Meanwhile, T-Bone is a chunk of hash who's often covered in gravy. I'm not sure what that means either. This is T-Bone and Tybus.
I saw a tweet that I guess I had to recalibrate my expectations. I wasn't prepared for this one this morning. Okay.
What did he say?
Well, it's from legendary NFL wide receiver Reggie Wayne.
Okay.
Right? Reggie Wayne tweeted out the following. This was yesterday at about 5 o'clock in the afternoon. He said, "I'm pissed. Somebody broke into my car. I'm not pissed that they broke into my car and left my Gucci glasses sitting there." Nice flex. "I'm pissed that they broke into my car and stole my bowling shoes and didn't take my two bowling balls. Are my bowling balls not good enough?" Then two angry emojis, which I just didn't have that on the bingo card of tweets I was going to read this morning. Was Reggie Wayne being mad that someone broke into his car, but feeling inadequate about his balls, essentially, his bowling balls.
Let me get this right. So they personally targeted his shoes.
Well, he's saying they broke into the car and they stole the bowling shoes, but his bowling balls were sitting there. Apparently, so were some Gucci sunglasses. So they left all of that and took the shoes. Also, was this known?
He's got some fire bowling shoes.
Are these, I didn't know. Do we know about Reggie Wayne and bowling? Because I tried to look it up and it said like Reggie Wayne pro, which is a mistake Common Man and I have made before on the air together, was pro bowler. And it's like, pro bowler. He's a pro bowler, not a pro bowler.
Did you see somebody comment under the post and say Reggie Wayne's shoes has a better ring to it on eBay than Reggie Wayne's balls?
See, there you go. That's exactly right. That's what I was thinking. Yeah. You got to be careful with that. It's a lot of,
because you can see the balls right there.
Thank you, Tony. Yeah. Stay off the roads, Tony.
Oh, man.
Yeah, that's... Yeah, man, I didn't expect that one this morning, so let him live. That's good. You know what? You got to have hobbies. He's retired. Got to have something to do. Bowling's not a bad hobby. You like to bowl?
Me and my wife used to love to go bowling. That was like the one thing that we always got out before kids.
What's your personal best score?
Like 2-something. I don't know. Nothing crazy.
Okay.
I think anything under 200 is pretty impressive.
Oh, yeah, like 2-something. Probably like 205.
Yeah, you're not
something like
that.
Yeah.
See, I have bowled probably 100 times in my life, from being a kid, going to birthday parties, field trips, whatever, all the way up through high school, college, et cetera. I do not still know how the bowling scoring works. Like, I don't.
It's nine. Is it 8 pins?
10 yeah. pins.
10 pins.
Okay.
So you knock them down, obviously.
Yeah, and you have 10 frames. What's 10 times 10? 100. What's a perfect game? 300. Yeah. I don't understand that. Well, that's what I'm saying. It doesn't add up to me.
Don't if you get a strike, right? It's, what, 10?
What is it?
And then if you go back and you hit another strike, uh-huh, it adds more.
How much more?
I can't remember.
See, when they kick a field goal in the regular game, it's worth 3 points. When they kick one after a touchdown, it's worth 1 point. I understand that. That's simple. See, I still don't know how bowling works.
I don't know
works.
Exactly, but I know I walk somebody down doing that. Like, I roll like 3 frames where I just struck them all.
Boom, oh, yeah? Boom,
and walked them down and came back and won.
That's good.
I was on one that day.
I've never been good at it.
It's really, it's kind of like basketball. It's like, it's a muscle memory. Like, once you roll that first strike, you just remember how that felt, and you roll it like that again. It just go like a strike.
Yeah.
See, I can't do the spin thing because my wrist.
I knew you were going to break
my wrist. Yeah, I can't do it with the wrist. I can't spin.
Sure. That's all I hear is excuses.
You gotta it's like giving a handshake. I can't do it.
Somebody
that.
Broke his wrist in the NFL, and we got to hear about it for the rest of our lives.
That's loser talk.
Hit up your people at Orthopedic One, and then
Orthopedic One.
That's not where he goes.
QC Kinetics.
Take two. Hit up your people at QC Kinetics.
There you go.
I'll edit that for the podcast
right now. If I go to QC Kinetics and get that shot, I'm gonna be out there like, what wrist?
I like
what
how Dylan's wrist? Like, I don't know, your elbow and knee place, your window place, T-Bone, I don't know.
Well, whatever.
I go
get that shot in them knees, boy. I'll be out there hooping.
Yeah, that's good. I don't think I think it's Jim Gaffigan, the comedian, who said I think he was talking about bowling when he said this, but where everybody gets to that first frame and they stand there like, yeah, watch and learn. Let me show you how it's done. And then after they roll it and they like throw it in the gutter, it's like, ah, this is a stupid sport. Why does anybody play this? Like, that's me at every bowling alley I've been to.
Put the bumpers up, T-Bone. Don't have
well, that's the beauty of having kids. When the kids are there and the bumpers up, it's like, oh, they didn't go down. Let me just, hey, look at that. Yay. I don't care. I don't care enough to learn it. Let me put it that way. But if you do, I respect you because I know it's tough. I just, it's not for me. So did a Browns receiver, what that too, something I said. Did a Browns receiver make his pick for who should be the starting quarterback?
Yeah, you talking about Jerry Jeudy.
This is so stupid.
First of all, okay, so go ahead.
Jerry Jeudy was on a live stream sitting in his car. And on the live stream, you can see comments coming down, right? Yes. So he's responding. So if you never watched the live stream, the comments keep coming and he won't even say like, oh, so-and-so, that's a good comment. Here's my response. He'll just say like, no, I don't think so. Yes. So at one point, there's a question on the screen that says, who are you picking at quarterback?
Yeah, who you want to start?
And then you can tell whoever edited this, clearly cut the video at that moment. And then it comes back. That comment is no longer on the screen. And you see him hold up the number four with his hands.
Yeah.
And so people are like, oh, he picked four. He said Deshaun Watson. Then did you see? So he had a response.
He came back and said, he threw up. What if I throw up the deuce? What does that mean?
Yeah. Well, and he also said this was edited. I'm not sticking to that. I'm going to let the guys who make those decisions make those decisions. That's not my call. I feel like I did see someone posted a picture, and I don't know, again, in the age of the internet that we're in now, I don't know if anything's accurate, but there was a picture of him apparently hanging out with Deshaun Watson, and both of them took pictures of their watches, which I almost felt like was a wrist up kind of like they're just having fun with this. I think all these guys are basically like, yeah, whatever. We're not making this call. That's old Todd Monken who's making that call for you. Todd, what do you think?
I like being stroked.
Thank you.
I want to know why he did that. What was the four for? Like, why did he throw it
in? I don't know. It could have been some other question somebody asked. I don't know. How many broken bones have you had in your life? How many drops are you averaging per game?
This is why you got to start addressing it.
That's the hot take.
You got to go at Degenerate T-Bone. That's a great question. Here's the answer.
Bang. Yeah, right. That's what you need to say.
That's how you got to do that from now on. But it, like I say, this stuff is so funny because it's like obviously people are doing it for clicks and all those things. It doesn't matter who he wants.
Jerry Jeudy wants?
Here 24 hours, they all report. They hit the dance floor this week.
It doesn't matter who he wants.
Whoever's playing the best is going to win the job. I don't know why this is, why are we looking for, like, all this, what happened in the past stuff is all irrelevant. They about to hit the dance floor, and whoever performs the best will start.
Whoever throws it to him, he is sure to drop it, so it's fine. Well, it doesn't really matter.
Yeah, well, that's a whole nother story. I hope he's turning around. I really do.
I hope he does too, Tyvus.
That's a shame. His talent at Alabama, he was like unbelievable.
I know.
And with Jameis Winston as his quarterback, he's Hall of Fame caliber.
But like, I don't know why he can't put it together for 17 weeks. Like, I don't know. He need to figure
it
out.
I hope he does this year, but I have to go off what I've seen, which is I don't think that's likely, but maybe it'll change. Who knows? It's what Viking fans are saying right now about J.J. McCarthy. I'd like to change. I don't know if it is. I don't know if it ever will.
Diana Rossini said he stinks. So.
Diana Rossini's had a lot of things to say up until about a couple months ago, and then we haven't heard much from her at all. So let her live. I hope she gets back into it in some capacity or another. I don't know. I don't know what job will be there for her, but
her and Ryan Clark.
She needs to do a podcast for sure. I agree with that. All right. I got a couple of sports conspiracy theories that are floating around involving like current stuff. We will lay both of those out for you. Do either of them have validity? We'll tell you about them next. T-Bone and Tyvus on the Fan.
Fan traffic
from the Atlas Butler Plumbing Services Traffic Center.
Good morning. Right now, we are still watching a crash on US 23 in both directions, impacting traffic mainly going southbound on 23. This is right in the Asheville Commercial Point area. If you're heading southbound down there, you will have to use 104 instead. I'm 10TV's Amy Steigerwald with your Fan.
And it's a...
Think you know Buckeye football? These two say, hold my beer. The Beat with Austin and Berm.
Sponsored by The Waterworks.
Daily on The Fan's YouTube and wherever you get your podcasts. Your home of the Buckeyes, The Fan. Fan Weather.
From the Logan AC and Heat Services Weather Center.
We have some patches of fog out there to start the day. Otherwise, planned for a partly cloudy Monday. Could be a few showers or storms coming up later on today, mainly in western Ohio, however. Looking for a warm and humid afternoon, highs in the upper 80s. For tonight, scattered thunderstorms are likely. May produce gusty winds, lows around 70. Storm chance ends early tomorrow, partly cloudy, mid-80s. For The Fan, I'm 10 Weather Impact meteorologist Justin Gertz.
There's nothing Bo Bishop can't do well, except find competent co-hosts. Bishop and Friends.
Weekdays from 9 to noon.
The Fan. No, I've never heard of the band on T-Bone's shirt either. You're listening to T-Bone and Tyvus.
There's a big difference between getting a prescription and getting a plan when it comes to weight loss. Most people already know there isn't a magic solution. Real results usually come from having the right strategy, the right support, and medical professionals helping guide the process. And now, Tri-State Men's Health is offering telehealth for their medical weight loss programs. They're starting by taking the time to understand your particular health situation, your goals, and your long-term success before recommending treatment options. They use advanced medical strategies that are medically supervised to achieve your goals for your particular situation. Plus, they have medical solutions that could potentially take you even further towards your body composition goals. The best part is that there's no cost for your initial consultation, so don't just get a prescription, get a plan. From Tri-State Men's Health, call 800-900-9654. Or visit tristatemenshealth.com.
A little bit of breaking news here. Saw this about North Carolina football. UNC, University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill, has placed Michael Lombardi, general manager of the Carolina football program, on paid administrative leave effective immediately.
Which is crazy.
That's
before camp opened.
Okay. Now, they released a statement and they said, as is standard procedure, we don't address this further and no further reflection. They have no reflection on the merits is actually in this statement. They said there's not going to be any further addressing of it. I'm sure Bill Belichick will be just very open about everything that's going on with his football program, so you don't have to worry. Anyway, just an odd little bit of news there from this was going to be the 33rd NFL team. Remember that?
Oh, yeah.
When Belichick said that's what they're building down there.
Get in line. You know what he's going to say when they ask him about it.
We're on to TCU. TCU. Is that who they're playing again?
Saturday, August 29th. It's the first game of the whole
Didn't they play TCU early last year, too? And then they got boat race at home?
The first game was either a Sunday night or a Monday night standalone game.
Yeah.
Saturday, August 29th.
Oh, so this is week zero. This is probably at TCU?
This is at TCU.
Yeah, because last year was at North Carolina. Because remember they had everybody who'd ever been to North Carolina that was famous at that game? And by halftime, they were all trying to leave.
Doing it? So the very first college football game that comes on TV this year is North Carolina TCU.
Have fun with that.
Okay.
Yeah, so I don't know what's going on with Mike Lombardi, but apparently they have a little bit of an issue there at North Carolina with him. So keep an eye on that. Also, we have a voicemail, Tyvus. I want to remind everybody the voicemail number, 614-460-8010, 460-8010, 614, obviously the area code. That voicemail line is open 24/7. We had voicemails come over in the weekend. I'll play one for you in a second, but I want to remind you, tomorrow is Hot Take Tuesday. So if you want to get involved in Hot Take Tuesday, you can do it now, and we can play your hot take tomorrow. Just something to keep, or if you come up with one later today or overnight, tomorrow morning before the show, whatever, you can get it in there. We got this. This is a Browns question. We were just talking about who's going to play quarterback for the Browns. We're not the only ones asking that question, Tyvus.
Yo, this is Thurl from the My Dogs podcast coming from Columbus, Ohio. And I just had a question about Todd Monken. When Todd Monken got the job, Todd Monken said that he wasn't going to wait too long to name the starting quarterback. So, Tyvus, I would like for you to ask, or I'd like for you to tell me and the listeners, for as a head coach and playing in the NFL, what's a respectable timeline with training camp coming around that he should name a starter? Because he said he's not going to do that Kevin Stefanski thing. Two quarterbacks sharing the time. He's gonna figure out who his quarterback is, and he's gonna name him the starter, and they're gonna get all the reps.
I think that's a fair question.
No, it is for sure. Obviously, the timeline of training camp is 2 weeks, so they'll report tomorrow. They'll have their practices for 2 weeks, and then you move into more game preparation when you get towards the preseason games. ideally, you would love for them to go through the 2 weeks and then be like, all right, this is who performed the best. This is the starter. Let's move on. But I think that the way things is going, it's probably going to take a little bit of time. I think the deadline, the absolute last minute that you can name your starting quarterback and still have a successful season, in my personal opinion, is after the Bills game, the Bills preseason game when they have the joint practice. So that's, they play them Saturday, the 22nd. Yeah, they play them Saturday, August 22nd. I would say by Monday, August 24th, they should, if they, that's the latest that they should be able to name they start. If they got one by the end, it's a disaster.
Well, yeah, but to his point, Todd Monken's whole thing was, I'm not going to do this all training camp. I'm going to settle this very early. And I think that led some of us, right or wrong, to say, oh, maybe he's going to do this before they even really get going. Maybe he's just going to do something based off of the offseason stuff he's seen.
It's hard to do that.
Okay, so that's not a reasonable expectation.
Yeah, I think that he got to at least see him in the game because Deshaun hasn't, you haven't seen Deshaun in the game. It's different when you go out there and play in a live game. And then with Shador, you know, sometimes maybe a lot of times people like to put the narrative that his practice habits wasn't great and he's a better gamer. Okay, well, let me see them both in the game. let's see them in the game and see what they look like. And then let's go from there.
Yeah. All right. That's fine. I can't do, like, I know some shows, especially up in Cleveland, it's like every day they got to talk about this quarterback battle. We'll talk about it as some stuff comes out. But even then, it's like we're getting limited looks from training camp once that gets started. But it's also kind of like rearranging, in my mind, deck chairs on the Titanic. Like, it's just, okay, Shador, if he pops off and is great, awesome. But I have little faith that that's happening. I have even less faith that Deshaun Watson is going to be impactful. I think they're drafting a quarterback in the top five next year again. Maybe this time they'll get it right. We'll find out. Did you hear about the conspiracy theory with LeBron and why he picked the Sixers?
It's a conspiracy theory.
Oh, there's a conspiracy theory. And you know who put it out there?
Dylan.
No. Dan Le Batard.
What did he say?
Former ESPN host.
What did he say? Oh, my goodness.
He said, and he was very clear to say, like, I'm not saying this is accurate. I'm saying these are the text messages I'm getting. Now, he's based in Miami, right? A lot of connections to the Heat organization. The Heat obviously thought they were getting LeBron. They did not.
All the people put their money on Cauchy and lost it.
Well, here is what Dan Le Batard brought up. He said he is getting tweets from Heat employees and other people around the Miami Heat that are asking questions about what role did Michael Rubin have to play in LeBron going to Philly? Now, Michael Rubin is the guy who throws the white parties. He's the guy who has the Fanatics Fest. He's the guy who runs Fanatics, okay? That guy. But what he previously did, at one point, he was a minority owner in the Sixers. LeBron was at Fanatics Fest, hanging out, doing his thing, didn't announce where he was going, but made a big appearance there. So obviously he has some relationship with Michael Rubin. I'm sure most big time athletes do because of Fanatics, right? It's kind of ubiquitous. But LeBron took half of what the Heat were offering to go to Philly. LeBron did the Fanatics Fest thing, which he didn't have to do. And this is the big part of the conspiracy theory. LeBron goes to Miami. Business for Fanatics kind of just floats along because no one really needs a new Heat jersey. Or maybe you get one if there's a new version of the jersey, but there's a lot of Heat fans who already have a LeBron James jersey. No one has a LeBron James Sixers jersey. So think about that. I think we cracked the case. Fanatics got LeBron to go to Philly to sell a billion new jerseys so they can make bank and then send them to you with the wrong name on it. It'll say LeBron Jarms and it'll be not his number. So there you go. What do you think of that conspiracy theory, Tyvus? It's all about jersey sales.
this is, I tell you what, man. I think people forget the fact that he's 41 going on 42. I really do.
Did he look like it last year?
Yeah.
No, he didn't.
Yeah, when he missed the beginning of the season with sciatica.
Yeah. When he was actually playing.
Yeah, he did.
When he was playing in that series against the Rockets.
Oh, you talking about when he was a third option and all during the season?
Didn't look like a third option to me.
During the season?
There was times he was available.
I watched this man play a game with Luka and Austin Reeves. Game on the line. He stood in the corner and didn't move.
How did that work out for them?
I think they actually went into overtime and ended up winning the game. Luka did. But this is the thing. I've never in LeBron James's career saw this happen where he stood in the corner and did not move.
You know what Michael Jordan was doing in year 23?
Guess what?
Dylan, no one was talking about, no one said Michael Jordan until you brought him up there. Why? No one even said that. You're the only one bringing that up. You brought up Michael Jordan when I'm trying to get a conspiracy theory going about jersey sales. This is all about jerseys and all about Fanatics and Michael Rubin ruining sports. That's what he did.
I have my own conspiracy.
That's why he didn't go to Cleveland, because Cleveland already had the jersey. It's not about the fact that he looked at their roster and said, no, thank you. That was not it.
I have my own conspiracy. LeBron told us where he was going in May, and we talked about the story on this show when he released his dreams and nightmares clothing line.
I forgot about that, where he had the Meek Mill ripoff and everybody got pissed at him.
And then he did his announcement video, it was with Dreams and Nightmares playing in the background.
Dylan, I almost swore. Ooh. Oh, that's LeBron. That's crazy.
LeBron did an announcement video?
Yeah, and it was
I thought he just tweeted it.
No, Meek Mill's Dreams and Nightmares was playing.
People noticed
a highlight video of LeBron, and then the part where he says, Hold up, wait a minute. You thought I was finished. It shows that 76ers logo.
Wow.
I'll send it to you, Tyvus, so you can watch it.
And I'm getting old.
Look at that.
And be in awe.
I'm getting old.
I'm going to get the board out and just start putting, I'm going to do Glenn Beck. I'm just going to write giant red circles.
But this is the thing. I think this is where I'm at, and this is kind of where I've been at. Who cares? Who cares?
Yeah, at some
point. Why is this a thing? Who cares?
Well, you know why people care. It's LeBron James.
If this was LeBron 10 years ago, I would understand. This man literally said that I'm playing 2 years.
Did you see the Philly fans reacting to this? They're all thrilled to get him.
Great, and I understand that.
You know what? I'm thrilled for him. I'm going to root for the Sixers this year. What, just to spite you.
Go talk to them Laker fans about LeBron.
I'm there for BJ Edgecombe. LeBron is just a veteran.
No Lakers fans.
A league minimum veteran who can help out BJ Edgecombe.
They are so happy that he left. And I'm like, that's crazy.
Yeah, that's because they're going for the all CWB team.
I cannot believe it.
Boy.
Thank goodness that LeBron James is off.
I'll tell you what, if you want to see some CWBs, that's welcome you 26-27 Lakers. That's gonna be a lot of that.
The Snowtime Lakers.
All right, we'll hit the breakdown with Joshua Perry. Is he on his way to the Big Ten media days? We'll find out when we talk to him in 2 minutes. T-Bone and Tyvus on the Fan.
Fan traffic
from the Atlas Butler Plumbing Services Traffic Center.
Good morning and happy Monday. Still watching a crash on 23 on the south side. This is a little bit south of 762 this morning, impacting both north and southbound lanes. Again, on 23 on the south side. I'm 10TV's Amy Steigerwald with your
full terms. T-Bone and Tyvus is sponsored by Capital Ford of Columbus. Find your dream ride and get approved fast at CapitalFordOfColumbus.com. Two men, one appendix. This is T-Bone and Tyvus.
Joining us momentarily is Joshua Perry. He will be appearing on the Bryant Heating and Cooling Systems Fan Guest Hotline. I do have to remind you, we have a fan poll, Dylan, today. Do we have a fan poll or no?
Not yet.
Okay. When we get one, JP's Pizza Pub, they bring you the fan poll every single day. So shout out to JT's Pizza Pub. What should we have the fan poll be today?
I was just going to make it, are you surprised LeBron signed with Philadelphia?
There you go.
And then go elsewhere.
All right.
Who cares?
Do that. Yes, no, or who cares? Those are your three options for you. So we'll get that going in just a second, but you can go vote on that wherever you get your fan poll. You can get it on YouTube. You can get it on Twitter. You can get it on Facebook. Follow all our accounts and basically dedicate your life to the fan. That's what I'm saying.
The Buckeyes, the Big Ten, and the rest of college football. We tackle it all in a breakdown with Joshua Perry.
All right, JP, good morning to you. Are you on your way to the Big Ten meetings? What's happening?
I'm leaving this afternoon. So getting my bag packed, trying to figure out how I'm going to transport multiple pairs of shoes. I think I might have to put one of the pairs of shoes in my backpack, which I would prefer not to do. But this is one of those awkward trips where I got to pack a couple suits, but I also need to have some outfits, but I hate checking a bag. Mm. I just want to carry on. So now it's, I'm on the edge there of what I'm really trying to do in terms of the shoes now. So that's the big challenge up until I leave.
I feel like the move is just check the bag and you're going direct, right? So
yeah, but I don't listen. It'll take longer when I get to Chicago to wait for the bag to come out than the actual flight.
Well, that's fair enough. I get that, but I don't know. I just, if you got to bring all that, you've got a reputation to uphold. You got to dress nice. You got to bring different shoes. I understand. I'm saying just bite the bullet this one time and do it that way.
I'm about efficiency. You know, this traveling stuff, I do it every week. And the reason it's tolerable is because I know how to do this thing without all the extra events that come along with it, right? Like going down to baggage claim becomes another event. And then guess what? You might have an extraordinary event if your bag doesn't show up. And I want to avoid all of those different airport events. So I just want to throw it up in the overhead, call it a day, pull it back down when we get off the plane, walk outside, hop in the car, and get to the hotel. That's it.
Joshua, first of all, I want to apologize for having to leave so abruptly Saturday when we were having a great time. You know,
can I tell you what happened here? T-Bone.
Yeah, please tell me what happened. All he told me was that you guys went out to
Prohibition,
and then that was it. He just said, yeah, we went out, had a great time.
Yeah, I had to leave abruptly.
Oh.
Shout out to Prohibition, by the way. Great spot in Powell. Never been there. You got to go there. All the bourbon you want to drink. Anyway, so we're doing our thing. We're having a great time, as Tyvus mentioned. And so then we get to the part of the evening where we're saying our goodbyes. Now, my family, a little bit of a long goodbye kind of situation. We drag it out. So Tyvus and I do our thing. He says bye to the kids, says bye to Maddie. Now, Lauren and Tyvus's kids taking a little bit longer. So Tyvus grabs Trace in the car seat, puts him in the car. Next thing you know, I see Tyvus slam the door to his truck. And he's just sitting in there. Everybody else is chilling. Tyvus is gone. And he's sitting there for probably like 6-7 minutes before everybody else finally walks over to the car. So whatever Tyvus had to do was very urgent because he was not waiting on the rest of the crew.
So what was about to happen was they about to get an Uber, get going. That's what's about to happen. So we was having a good night. You know, we had good food there, you know. Josh had a great choice. He decided to get pulled pork with no bun. I was proud of him. I about shed a tear when I seen them do this. Oof,
I didn't know what we were.
Anyways.
Shed a tear. I did not hear that right at first. Okay, go ahead.
So, it hit me. Food kind of just hit me. And this really don't happen to me, but it like hit. And I had to go to the bathroom. Mm. And I didn't want to go to Prohibition's bathroom. I wanted to go, if you're going to use the
throne. You want a home game.
Yeah, you
want
to go.
Yeah,
ahead.
Sure.
So, you know how like you get the feeling, but like, it's not, it can't be. So the night goes on, yeah. And I'm like, I can't be. But it keeps getting like a little, yeah. The stomach start rumbling a little bit more. And I said, yeah, I got to get out of here, y'all. I'm sorry. I know we're having a good time, but we got to go.
Hey, I've pulled that move with the family where it's like, I'm getting in the car. You guys can read that however you want, but I'm ready to go in more ways than one.
So I never updated you on it. So I ended up.
Need this update?
Yeah.
Because, what update are we getting?
No, listen, so as you know how like your stomach rumble a little bit, but you get in the car and you like head it home. Like sometimes the feeling go away.
That does not happen.
And like to me,
no.
I didn't know if
he was
He
was squeezing real hard.
I didn't know
and
if
then it just went back. No. Yeah.
He's like he's flying with the Blue Angels where they're like, right, it's pulling 9 G's. He's like,
I wasn't sure. Like, cause like I said, I thought it was the feeling, but I'm not sure.
Yeah.
So like I'm in the car driving home and I'm like thinking, all right, you know, we're getting away from it. Like it probably go away by the time I get home. You know, you didn't rush here and then the feeling goes away. Oh no, it was still there and it was exactly what I thought it was. And I was glad that I left. So
Did you do that little run where your hips are out in front of you?
No, I did the run where, so when we pulled into the drive, when we got into the garage, Lauren was like, just go. I'm going to get the kids out the car. I said, no, I don't want you grabbing Trace. So I got out the car and I did the thing where you put your hand on your butt, holding your butt. I did that. I did that run. I did that run. And then I grabbed Trace with one hand, put him down, and then ran to the bathroom.
Not the same hand, I hope.
Yeah. No. Okay. Two hands. You get two hands. So I had one hand holding my butt and the other one had Trace. and I ran to the bathroom. I made
it,
though.
How did it take till 8:37 to get this story out of you today?
I made it.
Well, I'm glad we got there. Joshua Perry is joining us in the Bryant Heating and Cooling Systems Fan Guest Hotline. Dare I ask you a football question, Joshua? Are you ready for this? Are you up for it?
I heard you guys real quick. I heard you guys talking about bowling, and the last time I went bowling, which is maybe like a month ago, I broke a pin.
You what? You broke a pin?
Your boy's got that much torque. And unlike Tyvus, my wrists are good enough that I can get the hook on the ball. But those pins, there's a lot of pin action back there. And one of the pins broke. And so the guy working at the bowling alley went back there, grabbed the broken pin. It's sitting in my garage right now.
Oh, he gave it to you.
My little trophy case. Yeah, I took it home as a trophy.
That's awesome. I've never seen that in all the times I've gone bowling. I've never seen somebody break a bowling pin. That's impressive.
That is impressive. Joshua, I want to ask you about the quarterbacks at Ohio State. We was listening to Chris Carter, and he was talking about Tavian St. Clair. Where are you at with him? Do you think that, let's say he sprained an ankle, right? And he had to be out for about 6 weeks. Are you confident that Tavian St. Clair could go in there and dominate for those 6 weeks?
Dominate, I feel like, is a stretch just because we haven't really seen him in that situation. I wouldn't want to go as far as to say that. You know, saw a spring game. I saw him practice a little bit in the spring. He's made of the right stuff. Good-looking athlete. He throws a great ball, right? So, like, in terms of Ohio State's backup situation compared to probably most schools, I'd feel confident enough that he could step in. You're not too worried about what the offense is going to look like. The reality of the situation is I feel like the backup quarterback is always like the most popular man on campus. And, you know, the end of last year, I think some people were kind of like, man, Julian left a little bit to be desired. And the thing that I would say is, you know, like, and we've done this before with a lot of other quarterbacks, but sometimes we get a little bit over our skis and we get a little bit spoiled. And the guy who was a Heisman finalist who also had one of the most efficient seasons that we've ever seen is probably still a pretty good quarterback, and the guy who is his backup is probably still just the backup. So I'm going to appreciate Julian while he's here, and I think Tavian, when it's his time to become the guy in Columbus, will become a really good guy. But it's certainly not his time right now. And so I think if he had to step in, he would be fine, but he's also the backup quarterback, and like, I think we got a good backup situation, but that's exactly what it is.
There you go. Good stuff, JP, as always. Thanks for entertaining all of our random questions and occasionally a football question. We will talk to you next week, all right?
All right, take care, guys.
There you go, Joshua Perry. He'll be at Big Ten Media Days this week. Maybe we'll check back with him, see how things are going.
Yeah,
get a live report.
I want to hear somebody throw shots at the SEC.
I want to see him arm wrestle like Brett Bielema. I think that'd be fun. Just random, like, arm wrestling with Joshua Perry against all these former football players who are now coaches. All right, we'll hit the buzzer next. T-Bone and Tyvus on the Fan.
Fan traffic.
From the Atlas Butler Plumbing Services Traffic Center.
Good morning. Right now, we are still watching a crash on US 23 on the south side. Right now, we've got all lanes shut down going southbound right at 762 as crews clear out a crash there. You'll have to use 104 as you head down to the south. I'm 10 TD's Amy Steigerwald with your
44.
In the old days when people lived to be 40, you only had one option for listening to your favorite show. But now, ooh, baby, radio, podcast, the Fan app, and YouTube, whew, just to name a few, live or on demand. You have no excuses. The Fan.
The Fan Guest Hotline is sponsored by Patriot Air Comfort Systems and Bryant. Doing whatever it takes to keep your home comfortable. The Fan.
When Tyvus looks at Bone, he sees the future. Bald, fat, white. You're listening to T-Bone and Tyvus.
Joining the program, a guy who now goes by Seabass and DeFellas. Ryan Baker, the touchdown maker.
I'm impressed with you, by the way. You impressed me just now.
Why would I not know that?
Because you're a young pup, and as much as I hate it, that movie came out in 1994.
I was born.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
I made a sea bass in the fellow's reference, and he started cracking up laughing. He knew what it was. I wasn't sure if that would hit.
Oh, yeah.
That right there, that scene and that act that Jim Carrey does is one of the most mastermind things ever. We want to apologize. We want to buy you guys a round of beers.
For all of the idiotic stuff that those guys do in the movie, like in the end when the Hawaiian Tropic bus comes by, and okay, they're like, man, yeah, when are we going to get our two young fellas?
He said, we're looking for two guys to be, what, was they towel boys or stretch them or something?
Oil boys or yeah, something like
he
that.
Said, he said, well, you guys are in luck. There's a town about 20 miles that way. And he goes, do you realize what you've done? Runs him down and says, excuse my friend here. The town you seek is actually that way. I'm like, oh, my goodness.
Oh, that was when that movie ended that way, I was like, this is an all-timer. Like, it already was, but just even how they just nailed the ending, they landed the plane, it was all the things.
Isn't it your wife that haven't seen it?
Yeah, I found that out like in the last 6 months that we were talking, and she
immediate
said,
divorce.
I've never seen it. I know. I told her, I'm like, I got to call a lawyer now. So we sat down and watched it, and we got about like 30 minutes in. And she's like, is it like this the entire way? I'm like, yes, it is. It's Dumb and Dumber. It's one of the greatest comedies of all time.
Yeah.
And by the way, do you know this bit of lore? I'm guessing Bake does.
When that, Harry meets Lloyd.
No. Well, do you know the part about Seabass?
Oh,
Seabass. Kick his ass, Seabass. Do you know who that actor in that scene who plays Seabass is? Do you know what his job was prior to doing that movie?
No clue.
It's a sport near and dear to Ryan Baker's heart.
He's a wrestler?
Isn't it?
well, close. He's a hockey player.
Isn't it Cam Neely?
Cam Neely. Yeah. Is exactly right. Cam Neely was an enforcer, played in the NHL.
I had no idea.
Yeah. Like a good player, not just a bit guy. Like when he shows up in that movie, for those who watch hockey, it's like, that's Cam Neely. So, yeah, you don't want to mess with Seabass.
You know I'm not talking to Baker today, though.
Why is that?
Because we are enemies.
Oh, I forgot. Oh,
that's right. You're going up against the Ohio Cup team.
Yeah, I'm not talking
to you. You're going up against America's team.
Guardians and Reds tonight.
Yeah, they look like America's team.
Would you guys win? They've won three road series in a row.
Look at that.
What is their record?
What have you done for me lately?
Where do they currently sit?
What have you done for me lately?
Let's go look at where they currently sit.
We don't need
NL Central.
Let's do
last place. Let me look. Oh, the bottom of the list.
Tyvus, I still was going to try to get you to hop on board with me because I just placed a bet pertaining to this game.
Oh,
what you bet?
Reds money line. You know why? Who's on the hill for the guards?
Chase Burns, baby.
Wait a minute. Who's on the hill for the guards?
Oh, yeah. No, y'all Slay winning. Yeah, Sikone. Y'all winning that one. Oh,
Slay Sikone's on the bump. That one. Two to Jerry.
Y'all winning that one. Slay, and we can't hit. Yeah, Slay, it's over. Y'all going to win this
you
one
know
tonight.
What I hear, Bone? A bunch of loser talk.
Oh, that's called keeping it real. When keeping it real goes wrong.
When the hot Reds.
Dave Chappelle skit.
Run Slade out of the game tonight. I think my prediction is going to come true, and we're going to see Slade here in Columbus.
So, what'd you guys? You guys won 2 of 3 the first time, or did you sweep?
It was 2 of 3 back in May.
So, if the Reds win 2 of 3 here,
they
keep the cup.
Well, it's only they playing three, or is it just two?
Or is it just two?
Oh no, it's three. It's three.
They should. I don't understand why they play an even amount of games. For people like Bone that like ties, it might be okay, but...
Yeah, it just messed me up because...
It's the dumbest thing in sports.
It messed me up because I know they played the Rays 2 games.
It really
isn't.
It really isn't. When you're going 17 innings and you have to put a guy on second base just because these two crap-ass teams can't figure it out.
I don't like that either.
Oh, no, we got a winner, but no, they just didn't deserve to win.
I don't like
no one deserved to win.
Base guy either, but I mean...
But they have to because they know some of these games will go 20 innings because nobody can... Get a hit.
Be like the Blue Jackets in Tampa Bay. Go 7 overtimes. Who cares? Let's go.
No, if it's
start the game
it's
at
four
in the afternoon.
If it's for a playoff game,
do a swing off.
If it's for a playoff game, I'm with you.
Swing off.
I have an analogy for ties that is not suitable for the air that I will tell you afterwards.
That's fine. That's fine. All I'm telling you is that in life, there's some days there's wins, some days there's losses, and some days there's a tie. Some days you have a flat tire, but you found out you got a raise at work. It balances out. You get some good and some bad.
No,
that's a tie.
That's all.
It's not a win.
That's all great because I can.
You get a flat tire.
I can afford to go get you some fixed.
You stood on the side of the road for 3 hours waiting for AAA.
We'll get you a can of
that sucks. Yeah, walk to the exit? That sucks.
Yeah.
I'm saying that's a bad day, but then you find out you're getting a raise. It's kind of 50-50. Nah. Some days are like that.
Uh-uh.
That's all I'm
saying. What happened first?
I don't know. It's a fictional scenario. Pick whichever one you want.
If the tire went flat first and then I found out I got a raise, it's a great day.
Okay, good. That's fine. I can acknowledge there's shades of gray in life.
You know, he's a cup half empty guy.
Yeah. I'm just saying there's a cup. A tie is just acknowledging the cup exists. There's wins, there's losses, and then today it was just a cup exists. Some days that's all you get.
I got a cupboard full of ties at home. I need to do something about that.
The cup exists. That's right. All right, what's coming up on the Bishop and Friends today, Bake?
Well, Bubba's back, so we'll hear some tales from his trip out west to Montana. Big Ten Media Days getting underway this week. I'm sure we will recap SEC last week since Bo wasn't here. Austin Ward joins us at 10:30. And then 20 most interesting. We had to wait for this program. We had to split up the ACC.
Oh, I thought you were going to say Montana.
We could not
SMU
cover Bo's SMU ponies without him.
I knew it.
Yeah, of course.
Billy and Bodie will join us for ponies. That as well. ThePonyExpress.com, I believe, is his website where he covers SMU.
Oh, I thought you said Billy and Bodie.
No,
I didn't know.
Billy and Bodie.
Oh, okay, guys. I was like, wow, Bodie's coming on as a guest. Who's
what
Billy?
Did they do? I mean, listen, I would love, we already did Notre Dame, but we could have Bodie on to talk about the Irish as well.
I was SMU last year because they went to the CFP.
They beat Miami. That's what they did.
They beat Miami last year?
Oh, yeah.
Stupid Miami. Oh, let's see here. SMU last year, it's on our sheet. They were 9-4, 6-2 in the ACC.
Yeah. No kidding.
Get ready for it.
They beat Arizona.
And they named their practice facility after their current starting quarterback. No joke.
Kevin Jennings?
Yeah.
He's good.
They've named because he's loyal.
They lost to Baylor and TCU and Wake Forest and Cal?
What you don't realize is
that's terrible.
Tyvus his favorite game to play is let me look at the schedule.
That's four terrible losses. You can't even justify none of those.
I'm talking about Cal, ACC power.
Cal, Wake Forest, TCU, and Baylor?
They had Saga Puatele throwing the ball out there at Cal. He's great.
Cal, Saga Puatele.
He burned the boats. And then he got burned in the transfer portal.
And they lost these games by
It's not his fault the captain changed ships on him. He burned the boats and then the captain changed his course. It's not his fault.
That's right. Bishop and Fred's coming up 9 to noon right here on The Fan. Thank you, Bake.
Shove it down your throat.
It's time for The Buzzer.
Sponsored by Logan AC and Heat Services. Feeling the heat? Call the experts at Logan Services now for hot deals on Trane systems, including 0% APR for 60 months.
All right, so different ways you can spend your weekend. A couple of guys in Seattle decided to have a bit of an adventure. They ascended the 605-foot structure known as the Space Needle in Seattle and bought tickets to go up. They went up the elevator, got to the top around 8:50. They had little backpacks on. They started to climb over the glass wall that separates the people on the Space Needle from certain doom.
Yes.
They climbed over that, and people were like, oh, my God, they're going to jump. And they did. Two guys jumped off the Space Needle 600 feet up. But they are base jumpers. They had parachutes. They glided safely down somewhere into Greater Seattle and disappeared into the night. Police say they are looking for the two men. They face trespassing charges. I mean, be safe. That's terrifying. Can you imagine being up there and watching that happen? I would be.
Why is it trespassing if they bought a ticket?
I don't think you're allowed to buy a ticket for the outside of the Space Needle or the air in between that and the ground. So
I would have been like, oh, my goodness.
Oh, yeah. It went viral. People had their phones out because no one stops them. No one grabs them and is like, don't do it. They're like, let me get my phone out and make sure I get this.
You got to be like Jim Carrey on Yes Man, where you sing to him and tell him don't jump off that ledge.
Yeah, that could be. Or like Crocodile Dundee, where he's like, well, could you finish up so I can move along here?
How long is this free fall here where they're like gliding down?
I don't know. It's 600 feet, so it's pretty quick. I would think it's just a couple seconds. You got to throw the parachute out immediately. Expert base jumper here. Let me tell you how it works. I put the base in base. Let's put it that way. There you go. T-Bone and Tyvus. We'll see you tomorrow on The Fan.
Fan traffic.
From the Atlas Butler Plumbing Services Traffic Center.
Good morning and happy Monday. Still watching a crash on 23 southbound, just a little bit south of Commercial Point this morning. Crews are clearing out a crash right as you hit 762 on the south side. You'll have to use 104 as you head down south this morning. I'm 10 TV's Amy Stuggerwald with your fan.